This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning. Reaction to the immigration minister's comments about a three strikes rule for immigration breaches. Police launching a sex crimes domestic violence unit, and the health minister says the chronic hospital patients are straining the system. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend. Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Friday, March 3rd, 2023. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Stephen Hanna will be joining us. Also this morning, we are expecting Labor and Immigration Minister Keith Bell to join us again this morning. And also in our Safe and Sound series, our monthly series, we're talking about the impact of AI, artificial intelligence, on fraud. And later in Morning Blend Business, Comfort Suites going to be talking about their March mania, what that's all about. We'll find out. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while you're sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Darville says that the Bahamas continues to face an increase in middle-aged and elderly Bahamians who need extensive hospital care. Darville speaking in the House yesterday, saying that other countries around the world, including the Bahamas, are facing a post-COVID health crisis that is seeing the increased incidence of chronic non-communicable diseases, especially among middle-aged and elderly people needing extensive care in the hospital. He said, quote, "This increased demand for in-hospital care is putting excess strain on my ministry's resources, and delivery of both secondary and tertiary health care services is proving to be very challenging. Many of these unstable patients require recurrent hospitalization because of non-compliance with medication, diet, and sometimes lack of health care, primary health care follow-up in many cases, resulting in remission sometimes weeks after being discharged. Officials have lamented the state of PMH, which has struggled to meet a demand in patients seeking care in the wake of the COVID pandemic. Darville has said the Bahamas is experiencing a second pandemic of people seeking medical care. Several PMH wards, including parts of accident and emergency, are undergoing renovations. Police are launching a consolidated sexual offenses and domestic violence unit. That's according to Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe. Monroe says the move is part of an effort to address sexual violence in the country. He says they're concerned that victims of sexual offenses should not be run around when they're making complaints. He was addressing members of the media at the Office of the Prime Minister's weekly press briefing yesterday. He says they're concerned that they should be greeted in a proper environment, the victims of sex crimes, and get proper support. A 33-year-old police corporal accused of sexually abusing his daughter for over two years was remanded to prison. The officer's name has been withheld to protect his now 12-year-old daughter's identity. Prosecutors allege that the father began molesting his daughter in November 2020 when she was 10 years old, and that the acts allegedly continued until February 24th of this year. The man was not required to enter pleas to 10 counts of incest when he appeared before senior magistrate Carolyn Vogue Evans. He was denied bail because the magistrate doesn't have the jurisdiction to consider bail for the charges. However, he is expected to seek bail in the Supreme Court. The policeman has been suspended from duty and placed on half pay until the conclusion of his case. He returns to court on June 8th for the presentation of a voluntary bill of indictment. And a family of eight displaced after their Eastwood home destroyed by fire. According to police, the incident occurred around noon yesterday. While firefighters arrived at the scene, they met a split-level building already engulfed in flames. The woman who was trapped in the building was rescued, though. She was treated for smoke inhalation and taken to the hospital. The fire reportedly started in the front bedroom. Police weren't able to say yet what caused that fire. Overseas, in Hong Kong, authorities today investigating the cause of a huge blaze that broke out overnight at a construction site in a popular shopping district. That fire forced 170 people in nearby buildings to evacuate. No deaths or injuries have been reported after the fire erupted at the Mariners Club redevelopment project in the densely populated Tsim Sha Tsui district at about 11 p.m. on Thursday. Multiple floors of the structure, including scaffolding, were on fire, and burning debris floated in the air. The Empire Group's redevelopment plan was to build a 42-story architectural landmark to house the historic Mariners Club and a new hotel. The fire was largely extinguished by 8:30 a.m. Firefighters had battled the blaze for around 9 hours. And from Greece, authorities there today saying that all remains recovered so far from the scene of this week's rail disaster have been accounted for, with the death toll from the crash remaining at 57. The bodies of victims from Tuesday's head-on collision were being returned to families in closed caskets after DNA matches were confirmed. Recovery teams were scouring the wreckage for a third day at Tempe, about 235 miles north of Athens, where a passenger train slammed into a freight carrier, causing the deadliest rail accident in Greece's history. Relatives of passengers still listed as unaccounted for waited outside a hospital for news. Health Ministry officials say all victim identifications will be carried out by cross-matching DNA samples from relatives, choosing not to use visual identification because so many of the victims were burned and dismembered. In sports, there are not many finals on the track and field on track on Thursday, at least, but the St. Augustine's College Big Red Machine able to do enough, slightly extending their lead over the Queen's College Comets after 2 days of action at the BAISS, the Bahamas Association of Independent Schools, Secondary Schools Track and Field Championships. After leading by 62.5 points at the end of the first day, SAC's lead over the comments, now extending to 84 points, entering the third and final day. They have 691.50 points. The comments have 607.5 points. And moving up the standings to third place, the Temple Christian Suns at 221.50. St. John's dropping to fourth now, followed by the St. Anne's Blue Wave so far. A champion will be crowned by the end of the day today. Bahamas senior men's national cricket team squandering another opportunity to finish in the top three of the International Cricket Council's 2024-2020 World Cup Sub-Regional Americas Qualifier 2023. Losing to the host country, Argentina. They fell by 43 runs Thursday at the St. Albans Club grounds in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The loss dropping the Bahamas to fourth position as they sport a 1-2 win-loss record. Their final game is tomorrow against the top-ranked team in the tournament, Bermuda, who has a perfect 3-0 record. The Bahamas must win that game in order to move on to the America's regional final set for September of this year. And as it turns out, the Bahamas' men's national softball team will compete in the 2023 Central American and Caribbean, that's the CAC Games, in San Salvador, El Salvador. The 24th version of the game set for June 23rd to July 8th. Featuring thousands of athletes competing in various sporting disciplines from 37 nations across the CAC region. Details on that in today's Guardian Sports section. And from the NBA, LeBron James expected to miss most of March with an injured tendon in his right foot. That's according to the Los Angeles Lakers in a statement. If that table holds, the Lakers will have to find a way to stay in the playoff race without the league's all-time scoring leader. The Lakers did not disclose the full extent of the injury, saying it was a tendon issue and that he will be re-evaluated in about 3 weeks. If James misses three more weeks, starting with Thursday, that would keep him out of at least 10 of the Lakers' final 19 games. James was hurt in the Lakers' win at Dallas on Sunday. He has already missed two games with an injury, with the Lakers splitting those contests. At 30-33, the Lakers are 11th in the Western Conference standings, one game from the number 10 spot and the last spot in the play-in round. They're also just 2.5 games back of 6th place and the final guaranteed playoff spot. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your weather for today, we've got moderate to strong breezes across the country. It's being supported by a persistent high-pressure system over the area. There's also a risk of rip currents, especially along east and south coast beaches. For all areas today, forecast calls for partly sunny, warm, and breezy conditions, becoming fair and mild tonight. Small craft advisory in effect for the northwestern islands, while a small craft caution is in effect for the central and southeastern Bahamas. Wind southeast to south at 15 to 20 knots in the northwest Bahamas and east to southeast at 15 to 20 knots in the central and southeastern islands. Seas 5 to 8 feet in the northwestern islands, but 4 to 6 feet in the central and southeast Bahamas. 73 degrees right now under partly cloudy skies in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 66 Fahrenheit, 19 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit. It's time for break, but when we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9, your home for fresh news and smart talk all day. Wake up, it's a new day.
just got brighter. The Loyalty Advantage membership program now has three unique plans to choose from. From LAMP Prepaid with free Prime Care visits and ServiceLine discounts, LAMP Insured with copay waivers and zero upfront collections at the ER and inpatient services, or our new LAMP Access, a free plan that offers 10% off lab, pharmacy, and imaging. LAMP has a plan for everyone. To sign up, visit our website or give us a call. Doctors Hospital, trusted and best care now.
Carifta is almost here, and Alive has partnered with TCL for you to capture gold at the 2023 Carifta Games. Switch to Alive and get a free TCL 30 Plus or TCL 30 SE on select Alive postpaid plans to share pictures and videos of our Bahamian athletes as they hit the tracks to win gold. Visit your nearest Alive store or mobile van location and come gold with us at the 2023 Carifta Games.
Whether you're looking for your first or new home, or even using your existing home as equity, RBC understands that your journey to home ownership is unique, and your mortgage financing should reflect that. That is why, at RBC, we have dedicated mortgage specialists that provide sound advice and helpful solutions to make your dream home a reality. Best of all, the RBC mortgage team is mobile, flexible, and will meet you almost anywhere. Visit rbc.com/take60seconds to connect with an RBC mortgage specialist.
Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Uh-huh.
I need to get this secret off my chest.
Okay.
The Sports Center
uh-huh.
and Heatwave,
uh-huh.
they having a sale.
What?
20% off store-wide, my boy.
You lying.
For whole days. Wednesday straight through to Saturday, March 1st, straight through to March 4th. Damn plan.
What?
You better run by Sports Center or Heatwave and get your things. Because when I go, I ain't leaving nothing. Wait, where he gone? Net and discount items excluded.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Wake up. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, start of the start of a new way. You know that this is the start of the end of the old way. Wake up.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at Morning Blend 969 or Facebook, Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us 422-4796. Standard text rates apply. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Stephen Hanna. should be joining us. Also this morning, scheduled, we are in our 8 o'clock hour, our Safe and Sound series, our monthly series. Every first Friday of the month, we're going to be looking at the impact of AI on fraud, artificial intelligence. Every week we hear of something very interesting with AI, but we'll be talking about that here and in a Bahamian perspective and context. And later in business, Comfort Suites, they've got a lot going on always, and they're going to be telling us about March Mania, what that's all about. And he promised yesterday, we'll see, if he will join us for part two of our live interview, Keith Bell, the Minister of Labor and Immigration. We'll see. We're holding out hope. But that's what's scheduled. Let's talk about what else is in the news. And in the news, big headline, the NASA Guardian comes from our interview with Keith Bell, Mr. Keith Bell, yesterday, and especially the discussion about what should happen to employers who violate immigration rules and laws. And Mr. Bell talked about it on the show, about how the government's considering a three strikes rule for immigration breaches. And we asked him lots of questions about that, and but that is getting a lot of attention this morning. I want to get your reaction to it if you were listening yesterday. Laverne and I yesterday were like, is that the right message to be sending to the public that you're serious about cracking down on illegal migration and undocumented workers? A three strikes rule as opposed to immediately dropping the hammer when you do it. But let's hear what you have to say. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. And yesterday, of course, a lot of the show ended up being about workers in the country and work ethic and employers, some through text, trying to justify why they have to go in this direction, not necessarily with undocumented workers, but with foreign workers because of the work added, the work ethics and the bad attitudes of many Bahamians. Of course, many others are saying that's not true. Plus, you want us to work as if we were slaves in terrible conditions with low pay. And talk about bad attitudes with the employers. That's what people were saying, right? So, and perhaps somebody from a very desperate situation would accept that, but a Bahamian would not. So we've got all of these issues at play here. But what say you? Should you immediately crack down on folks, not give them three chances? Because people will, not all, but many will go as far as they can, right? Just far enough to get what they want. But is that too many strikes? 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, sir. This three strikes rule is, in my estimation, is a bunch of foolishness. What kind of foolishness are we running in this country? If you break the law, shouldn't there be an immediate response to your breaking the law? I mean, what more passive approaches are we going to take? We have the passive approach as relates to people coming into our country legally, building on shanty, building shanty towns and expanding. Now we have a law that if you hire them illegally, you will have a three strike rule. So what? The first year you do it, oh, that's a strike. Then you probably do it another year later. That's another strike. Is that going to be a three strike rule in the same year? I mean, we all know that this step is kicking the can down the road. And this is exactly why this country is facing the problems it is facing with the increased immigration problem that we've been having. We have to get serious about fixing these issues and stop playing around with the Bahamian people. We're not stupid, and we demand that the government move swiftly to enact laws that will ensure that the Bahamian public is protected, because we don't know who these people are coming into our country. And if we continue along these paths that we are continuing on, it's going to continue to create challenges and frustrations for the majority of the Bahamian people in this country.
I hear.
Fix the problem and stop pacifying it.
Did you get to hear the show yesterday? Did you hear what the minister was saying?
Listen, I view their comments as all talk, no action. They are just trying to pacify the Bahamian people's heirs and trying to satisfy us to make us believe that there is some true reform and actions that are going to be taken. That is not what we are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
They have what, you know, as the current press secretary says, they say one thing to us and then they say another thing to the others. They're playing these games with us. Mm-hmm. We are sick and tired of the games, and we demand action, and we demand it immediately.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, he said yesterday that this was so that we don't have major backlogs in the courts. He's a man of his word. He's here with us. Now, thank you, caller. And he's back with us. Minister, good morning once again. Let's get those headphones on there. Great that you made it back with us. Thank you very much. You've made the headlines in the papers today.
Good morning. My name's Mike. Good morning, Bahamas. Laverne is here this morning?
No, not today. My co-host Stephen will be joining us shortly.
Okay.
But, all right, so there's reaction now to what we talked about yesterday with the three strikes. We had that caller who says that's not going to show that we are serious about this and that we need to immediately deal with offenders. Have you heard any, since yesterday morning, any responses to the interview yesterday?
Well, Dwight, I'll say this much. I've gotten some positives, some negatives, etc. But I think we as a society has to start the dialogue in terms of how we would want our system to operate and how we would want it to operate, but on operate with efficiency. Having served in the Royal Bahamas Police Force for in excess of 20 years, ascending to the rank of a chief superintendent, one of the areas I headed was the police prosecutions department. And on average, even to this very day, the Royal Bahamas Police Force places 125 criminal cases before our magistrate's court every week. Mm-hmm. 125. Now, you do the calculation. It takes, on average, 2 years to get a case through the magistrate's court where the person pleads not guilty. Now, that's your criminal cases. And I'm talking about minor offenses and hybrid offenses and major offenses tribal by the magistrate's court. Mm-hmm. And if we don't look at our situation seriously in this country, we're going to continue to clog up our cases. And the fact of the matter is, when the reality is that only cases where persons plead not guilty are cases which you need to put before the court ought to go before the court. And so we have to make sense of all of this. There is a very serious problem in this country when it comes to illegal migration, mm-hmm. when it comes to breaches of minor criminal offenses, traffic offenses, and of course, environmental offenses. Mm-hmm. So you have those four major categories. And think about it now. If the police is putting these four major categories before the court every week, 125 cases, these in your environmental cases alone, you can go in any area of New Providence right now. And I think that there can be no discussion, no debate, no contradiction that there is a need for us to introduce some sort of an environmental court and enforce our environmental regulations. Mm-hmm. You have areas where persons have significant amounts of vehicles piled up, old wrecks. They have fridge. They do fridge in residential areas. They fridge repairs. They repair air conditions in some areas.
Yeah.
You have the roadside garage in every area of New Providence. And so right away then we're saying, okay, now what do we do with the environmental issues? People littering, stuff like that, dumping, all this indiscriminate dumping all over the place. Make it a subject of fixed penalty.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, again, persons charged with minor possession of drugs, 1 gram, 2 grams of marijuana, why are you going to clog up your court system with 40 cases per week with these minor breaches?
Mm-hmm.
Make it a subject of fixed penalty.
So the three strikes would be, the first two would be fixed penalties.
Fixed penalty,
and
yes.
Then we've done it
for mm-hmm. traffic offenses.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine, how much time, valuable court time is saved because we've made traffic offenses fixed penalties.
Mm-hmm. But you know, how severe can you get with a fixed penalty? And this is a serious matter. Yes, the environmental pollution is horrible, but we are affecting our economy with this.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, right now, the question is, how many cases are we prosecuting? Mm-hmm. Nothing is happening to the extent that we need it to happen to have an impact to deal with our environment, to deal with illegal immigration to the extent that we need it. I think last year we put in excess of 900 cases before the courts in respect to immigration, illegally harboring illegal immigrants, irregular migrants, harboring, working outside the permit, those sort of overstaying. We've put over 900 cases last year. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, then that is just a percentage of the number that we need to push through the system. So if we are now able to make it the subject, in my view, of fixed penalty, mm-hmm. it means that we can prosecute that much more. And making it the subject of fixed penalty, which is very, this is a very important point, does not take away the fact that if we feel it is a case where it ought not to go by way of fixed penalty, mm-hmm. we can still put you before the court.
Okay. All right. So a lot of these employers, well, at least the perception is, they have enough money to pay off these fines if it's a fixed penalty, or to they can swallow that. But it still doesn't send a strong enough message that this is not going to be tolerated anymore. Well, what do you say to that?
I would not necessarily say so, because if we make it a subject of fixed penalty, as I said before, and even whether or not it is done one way or the other, if John Doe hires an individual who is an illegal immigrant, or the person breaches some immigration rule, which is the subject of a fixed penalty, and let's say we do, in fact, issue him a fixed penalty as opposed to putting him before the court, mm-hmm. then it will be a deterrence, because it does not take away the fact that the Director of Immigration can still blacklist him so that he is prohibited from making an application for another individual. Mm-hmm. So the discretion is still there. It doesn't take away the regular policies, procedures, and powers of the Director of Immigration mm-hmm. to deal with it in an effective way. Yeah. The director still has that authority. Mm-hmm.
We talked about that briefly yesterday. We said it might be for a limited time, but it could be indefinitely. Is that something that's being considered?
In terms, you mean the fixed penalty?
If you are blacklisted from being able to bring
in more people. It can be based on the seriousness of the offense mm-hmm. and other factors that obviously have to be taken into account. The director would have the discretion to determine whether or not it would be permanent and indefinite, or whether it would be for a period of time or whatever yeah. else. It applies in respect to persons who are put on the restricted list. Mm-hmm. You know, if a person comes to the country and they overstay their time. Now, a number of things happen. So, for instance, during the COVID period, when the competent authority locked down the country, there were a number of persons who were visiting, and because the airports were closed, everything was closed, they couldn't get out of the country, so they overstayed their time. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they overstayed their time didn't necessarily mean that they automatically was placed on a restricted list. Where there was evidence that they ought to have left and they had the opportunity to leave, then they was placed on a restricted list. Mm-hmm. But even having been placed on the restricted list, they could apply, and many of them have, to the Director of Immigration, and looking at all of the facts of the particular case, a decision would be made as to whether or not to take them off the restricted list.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So I don't want to go over all the things we talked about yesterday. We're going to talk about, there's so many things we didn't get to. But something hit me after the interview. So you said 15,000 new work permits.
No, 15,000 work. 15,000 current
work
permits.
Current. That's current. So that's not.
And renewed.
Recurring.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
Recurring.
Now, somebody asked us if there is a policy, and I don't know if there, but you can answer it. And shouldn't there be, for everybody with a work permit to be able to speak English?
If there is a policy?
If that's required, that you be an English speaker, at least have an understanding of English.
Well, it isn't an established policy, but there is an expectation. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where, Dwight, I think this is where we need to ensure that the Bahamian people be engaged. This is our country. Mm-hmm. And we can only improve on what is there if we hear and we work together. And so, again, if that is what the call is suggesting, then that is something that we ought to seriously consider. This is an English-speaking country.
Right.
You know, and I do support it.
Yeah. And others were saying that they I don't know, but they're saying they know of people who have citizenship now who cannot speak English. Is that possible at all?
No, I don't think that is the case. Mm-hmm. That is far-fetched.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to get into some immigration issues, including what in other parts of the world are known as anchor babies. And we talked about this off air a bit yesterday about Article 7 of the Constitution that allows for anybody born in the Bahamas to two parents who are here unlawfully, that they can apply for citizenship at age 18. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of interpretations about what this means, and many people who say that the Constitution does not support illegality, and so that does not apply. That's their interpretation, that it does not apply to people who came here undocumented, but it doesn't seem like that's how we interpret it as mm-hmm. a country at the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you feel there needs to be more clarity with that part of the Constitution? And folks are saying that the Nationality Act can clear that up, but obviously at this point, we recognize, the country recognizes that if your parents were here illegally, that you do have the right to apply.
Yes, yes. That there, Dwight, in my estimation, calls for in-depth discussion, in-depth analysis. Mm-hmm. But the Constitution is very clear in my view. It says that anyone born in the Bahamas is entitled at the age of 18, born to non-Bahamian parents, is entitled mm-hmm. to apply for citizenship when they reach 18 years mm-hmm. of age.
Regardless of their status.
Yes, yes. And yeah. so what you find then is that persons, when they reach the age of 18, they apply. Mm-hmm. And they're entitled to apply, and they're entitled to obtain citizenship. Now, the question is, and this is where the crux, and this is a debate across the world, whether someone who comes in your country illegally mm-hmm. and has a child, whether or not they ought to be able to pass on right. the citizenship of the Bahamas to that particular child, having regard that they're here illegally.
Yeah.
Right?
What's your personal view on it?
Well, as a member of the cabinet, I necessarily can't say this is my personal view uh-huh. as such. I can tell you the different schools of thought and what has happened. Mm-hmm. And in terms of engaging the Bahamian people, in terms of we are in the process, as we have indicated, to make amendments to the Immigration Act and the Nationality Act. And the Constitution gives us the authority to amend certain provisions thereof through legislation. And so it can be done through the Nationality Act. Mm-hmm. Given the numbers, given the circumstances that we find ourselves, given the international obligations that we have signed on, the treaties, etc., one school of thought is that if a person has a child who has come to the country legally, and that person wishes to apply for citizenship at the age of 18, then in England, for instance, the requirement is that that individual should be resident in that country for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that is the way England and a number of other countries have sought to deal with it. I am not aware, and again, of countries where if a person comes to a country illegally and they have a child, that a child is never entitled to apply for citizenship. I'm not aware mm-hmm. of any particular country which adopts that particular rule. Mm-hmm. It is the focus is on the individual, the child, mm-hmm. right? And there is this issue of this discussion about stateless people, stateless right. children, and where, who are they and what are they and what is the definition? How do you define these people, right? I don't necessarily believe that someone could be stateless mm-hmm. In those contexts. Either you take as we have said, the child takes the birth of when it comes to illegitimacy of the mother. So if a Haitian woman comes to the Bahamas and has a child, then the child is deemed to be a Haitian national.
Right.
But at the age of 18, they can apply.
Mm-hmm. So you just said that you're not aware of any country where that happens. So does that mean the Bahamas is not minded to be the only one?
No. Like I said, I am not aware. Mm-hmm. So it does not necessarily mean that the Bahamas may be the only one. Mm-hmm. Right? And the fact is, it doesn't matter, even if the Bahamas is the only one which adopts that approach, in mm-hmm. my view. Mm-hmm. We have to determine what is in our best interest. Mm-hmm. That is the bottom point. What is in the best interest? So it doesn't matter, in my view, what other countries have done. There has to be in some instances, not so much a deviation, but there has to be a move which is, and we have to do this in the best interest of our country. We can't just simply, wholesale import legislation from other countries,
right.
which may not necessarily be suited for our landscape. Mm-hmm. You see, so if that is the way in which we want to go, then fine. Something like that, I believe, ought to be put to a constitutional referendum,
though. Yes. So what is the direction the cabinet's heading at this point? You say you're looking at amending these acts. What are you looking at?
There are a number of amendments, and you will know that there are several major cases before the court, mm-hmm. one of which will be decided very soon in respect to the Bahamian males,
right,
and whether or not we are able to pass on citizenship, the children born out of marriage, mm-hmm. out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. And I think very strongly that that case will be determined that a Bahamian male can pass on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we would obviously have to introduce legislation to have in regard to what the court decision is.
Right.
But I mean, to me, it's just a disparity in the Constitution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it likely that we would take this to a referendum to settle it once and for all? What do you think of that?
I cannot answer it. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that in terms of if a person comes to a country illegally, then our focus, in my view, ought to be that we should have sufficient enforcement in the country, mm-hmm. first of all, to ensure that we close our borders to the extent that we minimize as far as we possibly can that persons cannot come in this country and have children. That's the first thing. Secondly,
that's very, very difficult. Oh,
it is. Right? It is.
Apparently.
It is. But I'm coming to our legislative framework and our plan, mm-hmm. the Progressive Liberal Party's plan. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if they're able to penetrate our borders, then we should have sufficient enforcement on the ground capacity. This is what you call building capacity, that we are able to detect and deal with these individuals very quickly but firmly, and ensure that they are repatriated out of our country so that they are not able to have all of these children.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, in my view, we are able to deal with...
It's a lot of ifs.
I'm coming to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are able, in my view, to deal with those components, then I don't think that this issue of the number of children being born in the Bahamas to non-Bahamians applying for citizenship will arise.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes back down to what is this government's position in terms of dealing with this major problem. The Honorable Prime Minister, the cabinet has approved and has been laid in Parliament. It has been on, it's on the government's website for every Bahamian to see. And our plan in terms of our immigration policy is based on three broad pillars. The first broad pillar is one of enforcement. Let us deal with the challenge that is within our borders. Mm-hmm. All of these shanty towns, all of these persons who reside in all of our islands, including New Providence, Eleuthera, Abaco, Harbor Island, all of the islands. So enforcement, first of all, is the first component. The second component is protecting our borders, enforcing our borders. And you'd have seen in our last administration, in 2013, we would have made a very large investment in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, where we would have bought a fleet of vessels for them. And so they are now able to adequately, or in a very significant way, police our territorial waters.
Mm-hmm.
The third component is international cooperation. And that is working with our CARICOM, working with our Caribbean brothers and sisters, working with the international community, Canada, United States, and ensuring that we do everything we possibly can to restore Haiti to where it ought to be, that is in terms of security, so that they could hold free and democratic elections, elect a president, restore government, and work towards restoring harmony in their country. Mm-hmm. So those are the three broad pillars that we look at. We are looking at enforcement, protection of our borders, and international cooperation.
Yeah.
That is our plan.
But it does rely on a lot of conditions there, and if you're not successful in the next election and a different administration comes in and they don't have quite the same enthusiasm with what you're talking about, we could be right back where we are at the moment. Try hard enough to entrench it into the policy of the country that this is not going to help you, and anchor babies, there'll be no way.
Well, I'll tell you this, the point is that it is, in my view, It can only become entrenched if the people accept it and push for their government to ensure that they continue with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you call, Dwight, continuity of government. You know, that era, in my view, is finished when if a government has a plan to deal with the situation and it is working, that you would have a government coming in and just scrapping the plan, stop, review, and cancel.
Mm-hmm.
They ought to continue with it And in my view, the only way you could deal with a challenge of this magnitude is through enforcement, what we're doing now. And you can speak to the residents in Abaco that there is enforcement on the ground, there's boots on the ground, and we're ensuring that we're dealing with it. The next component is protection of our territorial waters, enforcement, our sovereignty. And the third component has to be international cooperation. We have to go and fix the challenges in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Haiti, but what about Cuba? Mm-hmm. We have right now, as I've said yesterday, we have more Cubans in our detention center than we have Asians. Right? And as much as we don't want to, and I'm very cautious with not necessarily trying to focus on any particular grouping, but it is the Cubans who burn our detention center down on several occasions. Mm-hmm. No worries. They've destroyed government property on any number of occasions. Right? The Haitians have never done that. Mm-hmm. So our focus cannot only be on the Haitians. We have to focus on all of these groupings. Mm-hmm. Right? It takes us, when we had a Chinese lady in custody, the amount of money it took us to get her back, to repatriate her back to China, is what it would have cost us to take about 20 or so Haitians to Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So we're getting some messages. People are disputing the anchor baby phenomenon, thinking it doesn't happen here. Let's get Stephen's mic up there. But I don't know if you're able to tell the story you told me yesterday about what happened with the woman who came in. Yeah. So people can understand. I mean, this is clearly happening here, and people are aware of our policies, our constitution, our rights here, and what they would be entitled to, and are taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Tell that story.
Sure. Well, there was a flight that came in from Haiti, and within hours of landing, the woman gave birth. And so the issue is whether or not, well, obviously the child would be entitled to citizenship at the age of 18. Yeah. And so provisions are being made. The child, I believe, is still in hospital. The child is being released and is in good health. And they would subsequently at some point be deported back to Haiti.
Right.
And then it goes back to the very same point. At the age of 18, that child is entitled to apply for citizenship. And so it means then to us whether we ought to consider, as in England, that in order for someone to apply for citizenship, having been born yet and not being with parents, that they ought to be resident in the country for 10 years preceding the application. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, from what I've seen from the different models around the world, that appears to be one of the models which may be well suited for our purpose. And we could tweak it as we see it, as we go along.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I just, my only objection was because I don't, anchor baby kind of feels like one of those things, the term from, with how the Americans use it is somebody using a child so they could stay in the country. Mm-hmm. So
it's a little bit different. I don't know.
It's not a little bit different.
But there's case law. The case law is that if a woman has a child, mm-hmm. and this is not necessarily just here in the Bahamas, but yeah. if a non-Bahamian has a child in the Bahamas and the child is entitled then to grow up in the Bahamas, then automatically the child has to have a parent who will be there to nurture the child.
Right. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, the child isn't necessarily, doesn't have the right to, because like the baby and the mother are going to be sent back. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not like the child is entitled to the right to stay inside the country. It's just the child is entitled to apply at 18. It's because that's a different term that already has weight and stuff behind it. I think that might be some of the objections.
Yeah, a lot of people make those objections because they don't, ignoring the fact that many people are willing to take that risk.
Look at it this way too. And even though we're having this discussion about persons coming in our country to have a child, we must also bear in mind that there are many Bahamians who go to the United States to have a child.
Yeah, right.
And they come back home to the Bahamas and want to seek the benefit of that child having been born American citizen. Bahamians do it too. Mm-hmm. Now, we do it, obviously, not in no way near scale as the other persons who come here, but Bahamians do it too. Now, for me, I told my wife and I, when we determined that we want to have a child or two, we are Bahamians, our children can be born, and our children right here in the country, right in Bahamas. Mm-hmm. We Bahamians, our children can be full Bahamians, no half, full Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And that is a decision we made. But for many reasons, economic and otherwise, persons are determining to have their children in England and the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I agree with the whole you must reside in the country for a certain amount of time, because the whole point is to at least be culturally Bahamian, yes, or at some way, you know, familiar with
connected to the country,
right, as opposed to just being solely economic purposes. With that said, for persons who were already born here, who may have been here either all their life or a significant portion of their life, do those factors play into whether or not they receive citizenship and how quickly they receive citizenship?
Yeah, they do filter in. And again, each case turns on its own merit. But again, the Constitution clearly says, if you're born in the Bahamas, at the age of 18, you're entitled to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas. That is the requirement. Mm-hmm. Now, the cabinet and the government policy has been, okay, but let us go a bit further. Let us see what ties they have with the country. And in most instances, many instances, if not 80% or more, these individuals, and again, this is the category, that's why I want to move away from this particular category and look at what it is that we're going to do from this point going forward. In the category that you speak of, these children have gone to Uriah McAfee Primary School, C.I. Gibson, R.M. Bailey, L.W. Young, mm-hmm. Anatole Rogers, all these schools, they're part of the society, mm-hmm. right? Some of them are now working at our local grocers, at the wholesale places. They're contributing. And I will tell you this. I have assumed the ministerial position of immigration. You'll be surprised to know the number of these individuals who are star athletes, mm-hmm. representing the Bahamas all around the world and making a very, very significant contribution. You won't know them. And I can tell you, even very recently when I attended the Hugh Campbell, I was very pleased, extremely pleased, that the top players in the Hugh Campbell fall in those categories.
So what happens now if you've discovered there's a child here born in the Bahamas, they're 5 years old, let's say, to parents who are not from here, they were not here legally at all? What does the immigration department do? Do you deport them? Do you just say, well, we go, carry on?
You will find that in most instances, if at the age of five, in most instances, the individuals would have already been regularized in some way. That is the parents, either on a work permit from some person.
Most
of them, yes. And obviously a Bahamian would have had
after
to apply.
Coming here.
Yeah.
Illegally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
A Bahamian would have applied for them and they would likely have been regularized. Mm-hmm. And the child would have some sort of a permit to reside in the country, mm-hmm. In order to go to school, etc. And that is one of the ways in which both governments have come up with trying to regularize these children. Mm-hmm. So they would have some documentation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We got a question yesterday about the belongers permit.
Yeah,
tell us
that's
more
now.
About that.
Yeah, that's it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so okay. The belongers permit. Yeah. But that's precisely it. These mm-hmm. are for children born in the Bahamas who are not entitled to apply for citizenship until they reach age 18 years of age, mm-hmm. so they would get a belongers permit.
Are there limits on either side of what age you can have this?
Well, it goes up to age 18 when mm-hmm. you apply, and once you apply, then you get your citizenship and it falls away. Mm-hmm. So it goes up to 18.
And if you didn't have it before 16, is that going to be an issue if you only apply at 16?
Well, we have to give them some form of status, so they ought. I don't. Most of them really would have it.
I was going to ask, like, what all can you do with the belongings permit? Because I remember, I mean, it might have been decades back, but where even with going to COB or applying for a bank account,
you can't use that. No, and that is the challenge now.
Right.
Again, but again, it is a fix, and this is something again where the Bahamian people, I believe. We can engage them in terms of how we deal with this.
Well, my question, why can't you use it? I mean, it is a government document.
It is.
To give a level of status. So, I mean, should that not be... What higher authority is there than the government?
Well, there is none. And again, this is a discussion I'm saying that we can have in terms of the level and extent to which mm-hmm. we want to... it should have the kind of impact that you're speaking of.
Yeah.
The belongs permit is here just to indicate that you're here legally.
Yeah.
It entitles you to go to school. It entitles you to remain in the country.
Right.
But now you want us to go much further with it.
Not much further. medium further, because I mean the thing.
When you say much, that's much further to me. Because well, when you talk about opening a bank account, this is what you're saying.
But that's the thing. One of the things that you often hear people complain about is that all of the money that persons of Haitian descent get, and I'll specifically talk about Haitian descent, they always say, oh, they always sending all the money out of the country to Haiti or whatever. Well, if you want them to keep some of the money inside there, where should they?
No, but a belongers permit only applies, does not apply to someone beyond 18 years of age.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole, they would know that
right.
when they have it, when they're right. opening. I know for Dwight. No. Dwight might be looking at me sideways, but I
can see him. He's like, you're
trying to figure out where he's going.
No, I had my call back from when I was seven, right?
Yeah.
I still have that.
Yeah.
At Town Center Mall, right?
Right.
The having persons. Like it's not, right? But having persons attached to the institutions, having, and some of these institutions, the government receives revenue from them through taxes and all these different things. The more tied you are into the community, the more. I am to believe that you are a part of the community, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't see there being an issue where the person said, okay, you can use this to do this, this, and this. But once again, it falls away at 18. So if at 18 you need to start applying from when you're 16, I just see it being a smoother flow from point A to point B.
I understand you.
As opposed to being, okay, here's this thing so that you, when immigration pass you, and they jump off the bus and they say, what you doing now? You show them and that's it. But other than that, you're still on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm asking, if there's a bit more that it could do.
That would have to be a decision of the cabinet. At this stage, that is not a consideration. Mm-hmm. Now, if you feel that way, or if this person's feel that way, then they can make a submission. And I'd be happy to consider it or put it before the cabinet mm-hmm. in terms of government policy. Mm-hmm. But I think that... the main thing is that this is a child. We're speaking of, and while you want to give them a level of comfort that they will not be picked up for arbitrarily or whatever, for whatever reason,
right.
The belongings permit entitles them, gives them some degree of legal status. But I don't know if you want to go that much further because they're a child. Now, when they get 18 and they can apply and they get their citizenship, then they can get their bank account, they can vote, they can do all of these different things. That's right. Fine. But I don't know whether or not.
Well, I wasn't saying they should allow you to vote. But follow-up to that.
Could that be up to the financial institutions to decide whether they could use that?
They don't even want to use an expired driver's license to turn your way.
Well, that is true.
That's right.
All right, so it's like, and it's the same, it'll be one day off.
It's something to consider, and if you wish, we can have a look at it further and see what can happen.
So my follow-up, and I promise I'll be quiet after this, my follow-up is there is often some time that elapses between somebody applying at 18
mm-hmm.
and them being granted the full citizenship.
Yes.
If you could tell us what exactly is in place for them during that time. Because it might be a simple, depending on what the election cycle is, it might be they might only have to wait till they're 21, they might have to wait till they're 25,
yep.
Some might have to wait till they're 30.
That's right, 10 years or more.
Right.
Wow. So
I do know there are cases where persons, given the backlog that we're dealing with, mm-hmm. And again, we have to do our due diligence because of fraud involved in these cases and everything else that goes with it. We have to do our due, immigration has to do its due diligence. And so those cases do take a whole lot of time.
Right.
We have introduced a system which is helping us to improve the overall efficiency with which we deal with applications. And so in the interim, I've known some persons, they actually apply for a work permit. They apply for a work permit and their own work permit, even having been born in the Bahamas, just so that they're able to work pending their application for citizenship.
Apply for themselves?
Yes. They can get a general worker's permit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that is what they've done. It may not be the necessary, the best solution.
I didn't say anything. I just gave you a look.
It may not be the best solution, but this is the reality that we're faced with.
Okay. We got this question yesterday. I want to ask you this. We get a lot of complaints about files being lost, immigration, people having to resubmit all of their files. Mm-hmm. What is causing this to continue, and what's being done to improve this?
Yeah.
And I think I asked you about this very briefly yesterday about fraud and people making payments to accelerate the process.
So what we're doing is we're moving towards a paperless system, right? And this is, again, the former administration invested some $30 million into our database system that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still, again, it's a work in progress. And once we're able to upload the files into the system, then it helps us a whole lot. But remember now, over the decades, persons have applied for citizenship having attained the age of 18 years of age. We just sworn someone about a week or two ago who's now 38 years of age, applied at the age of 18.
Oh, my goodness.
I was waiting on the citizen, waiting on to be sworn in, waiting on, sorry, for the approval, and his files were lost. And so you do have those cases. We do have a significant backlog. But again, the point is for us not to rush through those cases, but to make sure we do our due diligence, because we have discovered persons have taken on or have impersonated individuals and have tried to obtain citizenship, have tried to obtain permanent residence, have tried to obtain work permits. And so the task is one which is very tedious, but at the end of the day, we want to ensure and guarantee that when we do send a matter to the cabinet for approval, that it is, in fact, we are satisfied that we have done complete due diligence on the matter. Mm-hmm. And so once we introduce, I believe, this, once we get the database system up and fully functional, and we move towards this paperless system, then I think that all of the issues of the long waits and having to reintroduce documents into the system, I think it will go away.
What's the time frame you think on that?
Well, that's going to be years. Each time we go into the system, we have to tweak and meet with the vendors and try and adjust the system and all of that. So it's a work in progress, but it's continuous.
Okay.
So it isn't, okay, we list the problems and then they come another 2 months. No, it's continuous. They're in the country right now, as a matter of fact. And I just met with them yesterday to ensure that we tweak the system again to meet the challenge that we had.
All right, we've got a whole lot of text messages here.
My concern is parking by that place.
The Department of Immigration?
Yeah.
All right, so your comment about the basketball players and students are doing well. And
yeah.
That has not been well received. A lot of people saying, are you making a case for undocumented migrants to come here and have children here?
How did they get that from that door?
I don't know. I'm making a case for nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the reality, and I'm telling the Bahamians first to engage in a sensible, rational conversation, engage your government, and make your suggestions in terms of what you want our legislation to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Now, if it is that the conversation started about persons coming to the Bahamas and having children,
right,
and they're entitled to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas at the age of 18, that is where we stopped and that's where we started and stopped. The question is, are they entitled to apply for citizenship? And if there ought to be the case, what safeguards we could put in place? That is what we need to hear from the Bahamians to ensure that when we do make the amendments in the legislation, that it reflects what the Bahamian people want,
right,
to protect the sovereign integrity of the country.
All right, so you might have to say this one more time because people aren't quite getting it. A lot of complaints about the three strikes with proposal,
sure,
right? This person says, why not empower immigration officers so they can issue immediate fines and penalties, treat them like you do traffic offenders, on-the-spot heavy fines. I mean, that's what they... But, and no... No three strikes. Okay, so that's, explain it one more time.
Yes.
That each strike is a penalty.
Each strike is a penalty,
right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, so as it stands right now, I was one of the drafters of the fixed penalty notices, mm-hmm, in the country. I was one of the drafters of the new Police Service Act and any number of legislation. I was the drafter of the legislation which dealt with making a violation of bail conditions an offense.
Mm-hmm.
I drafted those legislation along with a team and along with Justice Fraser, who is now on the bench, and she was in the Office of the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down and I looked at those things. I said, look, having worked in the system, these are things we need to do. Having regard to those things, I am also a proponent for making minor drug offenses the subject of fixed penalty.
Mm-hmm.
That's my position on three-strike rule. I am a proponent for making immigration and environmental matters the subject of fixed penalty.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? Just as with the traffic offenses, if you run the red light, if you park in a no parking zone, and any number of traffic offenses, violations, you could be served with a fixed penalty on the spot by a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
I am suggesting that if we ought to consider doing the very same thing for immigration. Why? When I was in charge of police prosecutions, we had 125,000 traffic offenses. cases before the court. We had in excess of 300,000 warrants of arrest in the system. It was an impossibility to deal with that, and that in the criminal matters. So I'm saying to you now, we still have the police force. I know they still have maybe 50, 60,000 traffic matters before the court now. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That in the criminal offenses. So we're now saying that we want to add now the immigration matters, the environmental matters to the court. What you think will happen?
The court will be at a standstill.
It could be at a standstill. So I'm suggesting then, let's deal with traffic. The fixed penalty, in my view, is an avenue, a plausible, rational avenue by which we ought to look at it. So where someone harbors an illegal immigrant, someone is working outside the scope of their work permit, an employer who has presented some documents or have not produced all of the documents, have not paid the national insurance for the individual, you can make all those the subject of fixed penalty. So the minute we discover that you have worked outside the scope of your permit, we find the employer with the individual, we could take him into custody, revoke the permit, and repatriate. Or we could issue a fine. You could do it, make it a subject of a fixed penalty. Now, when I talk about the three-strike rule, what I don't want to happen, or what I would not say to happen, is you don't want to necessarily appear soft on this. So if on the first occasion, someone working outside the scope of his permit, I mean, know that's a common thing here in the country, right? Issue a fine.
To the employer.
To the employer. Right. And you may very well issue a fine to the employee as well, too. Secondly,
and they get to keep working?
Yeah, they can get to keep
go back to within
the scope, yes. Right. So. Now, if it is that, so the fine may be $300.
For the employee.
For the employee and the employer.
Now, we could come back to the numbers.
$300 for an employer would be nothing.
Yeah. But no, but follow my point.
Add a zero to that.
Because now, so this is on the first time now.
Yeah.
The second time, you may say $1,000.
No,
still too low.
Once again.
That's fine.
So you're giving examples.
I'm just trying to figure this out.
Okay.
Right.
On the third occasion, the immigration officer is stopped from issuing a fine. That person would be taken into custody and put before the court. Right? Now, if on the first occasion they issue a fixed penalty, it does not take away the discretion of the director of immigration nor the minister to revoke the permit or blacklist the employer so he cannot apply for no more work permits for nobody else. Nor does it take away the fact, if we introduce a fixed penalty system, it doesn't take away the fact that we don't wish to issue a fixed penalty on the first occasion. For example, when we run the operation now, what's going on in Abaco, we have persons in Abaco who want work permits for New Providence. Working outside the ambit. So they're supposed to be a laborer, but we find them as at the ferry dock doing something else altogether completely different from what it is. So when we find that particular case, that is not the subject of a fine or a fixed penalty. Before the court, revoke, deport it.
Yeah.
So you have the, so each case will determine what you need to do, but at least you'll have a, you'll introduce a fixed penalty system which will help us to run these operations, which will help us to finance these repatriations.
I think we can get behind it if that first strike is very painful.
Yeah.
Right? And if it's really going to deter people from doing it. Because 300, as an example though, but 300, that's nothing. But 3,000, maybe.
And I think maybe even
higher. Don't forget now, in law, there's something called proportionality too.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. For the employee, if I, as the employee, have to pay a $300 fine. Because a traffic ticket is what, $250? Right. So if I'm paying $300, $250. The person who is employing all of these persons, who is profiting from the exploitation of our labor, that person shouldn't be getting $300 as well.
But like I say, the I just put the numbers out there, and those are subject to a discussion and whatever we wish to do.
All right, this text is asking, you said yesterday 15,000, but can you verify, can you say how many were issued to Haitian nationals?
A greater percentage have been issued to Haitians.
So the majority.
In terms of, in terms of handyman laborers, farm laborers, etc.
All right. We got a whole lot of questions here, and I know you have to leave us, but I want to talk about labor as well.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we touched on that quite a bit. But after the show, after you left, people were texting us, employers were texting us, talking about how the work ethic is poor for Bahamians and the, all the horror stories they have. They won't call in to say that, but they text in to say that a lot.
You know why they? You know why they text in?
I know why they call because everyone will hear. Your boss is on the radio talking about how.
Tell us how much you pay them.
But let's talk about this. We seem to have a major problem here, especially with young people. What are we going to do?
Well, there is. We have our challenges. Admittedly, and I think that is why we have labor on the blocks. We have labor in the schools now, and we are seeking to ensure that we work very closely with the Ministry of Education and the ministers in respect to ensure that persons coming out of school, that they have the requisite job skills, the training. There is a national apprenticeship program, and the cabinet has formed, headed by Minister Zane Lightbun, a national apprenticeship committee. And that is work in progress. We have the draft of a legislation to introduce. And so one of these things that we are doing to ensure that we equip our young people for the job market. Now, in addition to that, you would note that the government has increased the minimum wage from $210 to $260. One of the cries from the Employers Federation is, and from everyone, is that how do we ensure that the productivity commensurates with this increase. But more importantly, the government has announced that we're moving towards a livable wage. Mm-hmm. So even though we have increased minimum wage, it isn't stopping there. We're now moving towards a livable wage, and there are many models around the world. One model is that as inflation increases, your salary go up automatically.
Right.
And what is, and not necessarily just the employers, but we have to ensure now, how do we determine, or how do we deal with this issue of productivity? We cannot legislate it.
Right, and so, I was trying to figure out why you're asking this question.
Although employers are very realistic what they expect.
But anyway, the question is, all right, so how, because I feel like a lot of persons don't understand that minimum wage is not saying that this is as low, people look at it wrong, and they don't see it as this is a safety net by the government to prevent exploitation of Bahamians or persons in the country so that you don't have them working essentially as slaves. Mm-hmm. And here's just enough money to catch the bus to come back to work the next day. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that's what minimum wage is. Minimum wage is not necessarily a punishment. It is prevention of exploitation.
Yeah.
How clear is this? Two, because I hear all these employers complaining, oh, y'all going up in the minimum wage, how will you live? Because you're running your business incorrectly. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. But that's not your business in charge of labor or immigration. Mm-hmm. Your job is to make sure that they don't exploit the laborers to the point that they die.
Yeah.
Right? How do we get that inside the heads of people, what minimum wage is?
Now, I think that they have a good understanding of what it is.
Well, also, they're evil.
I would say none of that. Okay. No. But the reality is, though, and again, as behemoths, we have to face the reality. There are some cases or some instances where if you compare the behemoth to your non-behemoth counterpart, you know, if you say come to work for 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock, then the non-behemoth will come to work at 7:30. The behemoth will just be straddling in at 8:45.
Yeah.
And they bring their breakfast and they want to eat, they want to go on their breaks. So this is what the employers are complaining of. How do we ensure that they get an honest day's work for an honest day's pay?
We're going to have you back soon, I hope, Minister. Well, anyway, Labor Day is fast approaching. We'll talk more about that then, and hopefully more about immigration soon. Thank you again. I appreciate it. You came in 2 days. Well, people don't know you came in 3 days in a row. But anyway, I appreciate you so much for that.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
We're going to break for news. Stay with us.
Okay.
Nassau, Bahamas. Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on cable, Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC 422-4796. Standard text rate supply. And now at 8:20, time for another check of your weather brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Here's what's happening. We've got The moderate to strong breezes across the country being supported by a persistent high-pressure system over the area, and there is a risk of rip currents along east and south coast beaches. For all areas today, look for partly sunny, warm, and breezy conditions, becoming fair and mild tonight. Small craft advisory in effect for the northwest Bahamas, while a small craft caution is in effect for the southeast and central islands. Temperatures today getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 66 Fahrenheit, 19 Celsius. In your extended outlook, the high-pressure system will lose its stranglehold on the Bahamas, and it's already begun to trek eastwards ahead of a frontal boundary expected to move across the northwest Bahamas on Sunday. So, for Saturday, just ahead of that, look for partly mostly sunny and warm conditions with a passing shower, remaining breezy in the southeastern islands. Sunday, partly mostly sunny and warm with clouds and isolated showers once again in the northwest Bahamas ahead of the frontal boundary. That's your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Visit firstonlineinsurance.com and select a Bahamas First agent to purchase, pay, or renew your car or home insurance 100% online, or just stop by any Bahamas First agent. Bahamas First, celebrating 40 years, is the first Bahamian general insurance company. What's first for you comes first for us. Day 22, time for another check of your traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC. RBC specialists, mortgage specialists, can provide helpful solutions to make your dream home a reality. In your real-time traffic at this hour, seeing some heavy traffic at a number of spots. The six-legged roundabout, that whole area not looking like a place you want to be this morning. Heavy traffic eastbound, JFK Drive to the roundabout, northbound on Mile Butler Highway, southbound, heading back towards Tawny Gwilliams Darling Highway as well. And a bit southbound on the New Providence Highway and toward that six-legged roundabout there. So that is a congested area this morning. Further south on Mile Butler Highway, heavy traffic from Fire Trail straight up to Tawny Gwilliams Darling Highway. And traffic is backed up along Tawny Gwilliams Darling Highway to the roundabout with Mile Butler. So, again, just not an area to be. Of course, there's a lot happening in the stadium. Perhaps it's contributing to it. But... yeah, keep that in mind if you're in that part of the island this morning. Elsewhere, we've got Glass Road not looking bad at all for you. Northbound, just north of Munnings Road, you'll see some traffic on the way to the roundabout with JFK Drive. And then there's Carmichael eastbound to Blue Hill Road, a bit congested there. Blue Hill Road busy for you from Carmichael straight up to Independence Drive, especially north of Soldier Road as you get over the hill to the roundabout. Independence Drive backed up westbound mainly between the roundabouts at East Street and Blue Hill Road. Then there's Robinson Road, heavy traffic between Soldier and Old Trail, and Prince Charles Drive at the major intersections. Bernard Road near the schools in the area as well. Soldier Road northbound, just north of the Robinson-Prince Charles Drive intersection on the way to the intersection with Bernard Wolf and Village. Those are your hot spots. That's your real-time traffic and your Morning Blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC. Visit rbc.com/take60seconds to connect with an RBC mortgage specialist.
Whether you're looking for your first or new home, or even using your existing home as equity, RBC understands that your journey to home ownership is unique, and your mortgage financing should reflect that. That is why, at RBC, we have dedicated mortgage specialists that provide sound advice and helpful solutions to make your dream home a reality. Best of all, the RBC mortgage team is mobile, flexible, and will meet you almost anywhere. Visit rbc.com/take60seconds to connect with an RBC mortgage specialist.
Introducing a new tortilla lime crunch chicken sandwich from Wendy's. And I have a little bit of everything. Avocado, taco mayo, pickles, and crunchy tortillas on top of a delicious breaded chicken filet. Yes, try it and add our all-new Dave's Craft Lemonade to your combo. Wendy's, different inside and out.
Florida Auto Parts can deliver all the auto parts your car will ever need, direct from the USA and from around the world. Florida Auto Parts provides fast delivery on auto parts, and we ship throughout the Bahamas, genuine or aftermarket, new or used, and all for the best price. Call Florida Auto Parts Trusted Parts Rep on WhatsApp at 1-786-772-8777 to save on your next auto parts purchase. Florida Auto Parts, the right parts at the right price.
Is your 2023 goal to move into your own home? Well, future homeowner, enjoy another payday. Build or buy a home with financing from CIBC First Caribbean, and you'll receive cash back every month for 1 year. A home is one of your greatest investments, so secure one soon. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/homeowners payday for more info. Offer valid from January 9 through to March 31, 2023. Terms and conditions apply.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
Ready to save? You can put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express Plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you. Wake up, it's today.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with you. Stephen Hanna had to leave us, but we are back here live. And it's our Safe and Sound series, our monthly series, usually in Morning Blend business, but we're going to bracket it this morning. And Gamal Nuri with Preventative Measures is with us, as always. Good morning, sir. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Bahamas. Good to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. This morning, we're talking about the impact of AI, artificial intelligence, on fraud. And AI has been in the news a lot of the past few weeks, months. There's a lot of stuff happening. It's like the horror movies predicted we seem to be on the cusp of the machines taking over. But let's talk about it in terms of fraud. For those who might not be familiar, let's talk about what basically AI is, and then we'll get into the focus on fraud this morning.
Sure. And I think to get into that conversation, Dwight, I would want to start on the positive components of AI.
There's positive.
Because you know, we utilize artificial intelligence, machine learning, and a lot of our activities that have real positive impacts on how we conduct business, how we carry out, you know, just our daily activities. So it isn't a negative thing. It is certainly an essential tool that we all use, and it's from as basic as, AI is not a new thing. This is something that's been around for over 50 plus years. We've slowly seen its progression and migration in, or more prominent into our daily activities. And this is everything from, you know, using things like Siri and Alexis. This is everything from using your GPS when using a GPS system to help you find a location, and then certainly that GPS remembers the address that, you know, if you're traveling abroad and not familiar with territory, the terrain. As simple as predicting weather. I mean, a lot of these positive influence of AI are already in play in our society. So it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It is definitely a good thing as we look at the applications, as we look at the various applications.
All right. So more good than bad, would you say?
Yeah, I definitely think it's more good than bad. I think that most of the tools that man has invented, all of the tools I would say man has invented, the intent has always been good. It's just that, you know, a small percentage of us, or them maybe, not us, not me and you, like the rest of them, right? decided they're going to use that advancement and that technology for nefarious reasons. And then now you have the abuse of the technology, of the advancement. And I'm saying from as simple as, what was the intent of the firearm? Firearm was thought to be used as a defense mechanism. What was the intent of cocaine? What was the intent of a car? A car was never supposed to be used to rob a bank or to run someone over. It was a means of transportation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just using these simple examples because I want us to appreciate that I think all technology and advancement is always 99%. There may be some things out there that were intentionally developed for negative reasons, right? But I think 99% of advancement has always been for the betterment of mankind and ensuring that the quality of life is improved upon.
Okay.
So that's where I want to start. I want to make sure we appreciate that it is not a bad thing. So let's not throw it out and eliminate it.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. Right? All right. So let's talk about AI and how it's progressed and what it is exactly, and then we can look at it in fraud detection.
All right. So it is essentially where data, you know, it is the collection of data and using that data to help to better predict actions and intentions, and in some instances manipulate or direct the data to cause certain things to happen. And again, it's all based on data, because AI is not pulling this data out of the air per se. It is based on human action or where it observes human behavior, or there's direct inputting into a computer to bring forth a certain, to establish a certain outcome. So AI is taking data. So let's say, you know, we collect all of the oranges, and we have to do a sample of the oranges to determine the sweetness of the oranges. Are the oranges ripe? Which part of your property or which part of your, your estate is producing the best oranges? When do we see the highest volume of oranges, or where did we see the last volume? You know, was there rain? Was there sun? What was the temperature? So all of that is raw data that we would use to determine when would be the best time to grow, when would be the best time to pick, when would be the best time to take it to market. So that's essentially AI. AI is now taking that data and speeding up the calculation where a human may take days or weeks or months to predict that, mm-hmm. and to establish some sort of pattern through mathematics. AI, it does that in seconds. But it's the same concept, just taking what's already there, that raw data, taking it into a computing it and processing it to establish a pattern where you can use that information to essentially, for example, time when you're gonna use your sprinkler system to water your garden. When you're gonna hire persons to start, when you're gonna start your marketing program to sell, to sell your oranges. So I'm trying to break it down into layman's terms so people can understand. That's essentially what it is in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It's just now taking that laborious activity, putting it into a software or coding it into a computer, and you get the results at a much faster pace. And then it looks artificial. It looks like it's something that is, as they would say, intelligent, and that's why I smile sometimes when I hear the word artificial intelligence, as if it has some sort of consciousness. It's just computing that's happening at such a fast pace. And it is now making certain decisions or based on what parameters that you would have put in place.
Okay. All right. So in terms of fraud detection, how has this been beneficial? What are some of the things that have been helped?
Most definitely in fraud detection and fraud prevention. Again, you as a shopper, three persons, you know, the card owner or the card owner, the person who owns the card, or owns the account, because it can also be a bank account. Obviously the bank where that money is being, processed or transacted, that platform, and the merchant where you're getting those goods from. So with artificial intelligence and machine learning, and I'm saying machine learning because really machine learning is the machine or the computing system learning the processes, and the artificial intelligence is what you see at the end result, where it makes those decisions and makes those predictions based on what the machine is learning. So that we're clear, machine learning is, and I will tend to use them interchangeably, but machine learning is where that data is being collected and processed, and the artificial intelligence, which is the end product, is where now you see the action being taken. So bringing it back to fraud detection. If you're going to the store on Sundays, you go to the grocery store every Sunday, or you have a particular day that you decide that you're going to go to the grocery store, and you have a certain shopping list that for the most part remains consistent. You go to the same supermarket, or food store, or whatever you do your transactions. So the machine or the system starts to collect that data and timing of the week, time of the day, the location, basically the amount that you're spending on a weekly basis at this particular location. The machine starts to learn that. The fly comes when the machine notices that on that particular day, this transaction is taking place in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. for example, and you're not buying food, you're buying a hotel room at a resort. If you recall, you know, it isn't so much implemented now because, you know, artificial intelligence has certainly allowed banks to be a bit more, to recognize fraudulent acts. You would have had in the past, you'd have to call your bank before you travel. And you'd have to give them some idea, hey, I'm going to be in this particular location for 7 days. So when they see a transaction showing up in Hong Kong, knowing that the account, the individual is based in the Bahamas, it wouldn't raise a concern. Mm-hmm. But if there was no information provided, when they see that transaction occurring in Hong Kong, then there was the tendency to block that particular transaction.
Right.
So what artificial intelligence is doing is this. taking that same process, but you would have now bought a ticket. You would have perhaps done a transaction at an airport, or you would have gotten an Uber. So they see, it starts to recognize the patterns and the behavior that the person purchased a ticket to travel to Hong Kong on this particular day. So the behavior, the transactions are consistent with someone who's traveling from the Bahamas to Hong Kong. But and that's what AI is doing.
You have to use the same card if you're going to do all that, though. So, right?
But even if you don't use the same card, it's still tracking the account and the transactions. So it speaks to them. Don't forget.
Okay.
Don't forget. It's AI. So that communication between banks, all of that still goes back to the two major card processing, the two major card groups in the world. There's three, mind you, but the point I'm making is that that's what AI is doing. It's bridging and closing some of those gaps where you didn't have the communication to say that, okay, this is consistent with what's happening. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is consistent with the behavior or what we would have seen occurring. I'd use another example, you know, with regards to fraud detection. When you're now using multiple cards, but the AI now, like I said, it would have already established the patterns of behavior, the movement, the timing. Each card is time stamped at a particular location. So AI is recognizing all of these things and bringing it together to help close the gaps as it relates to detecting the fraud. Mm-hmm. So that's beneficial to all of us. That's beneficial to me as the cardholder. That's beneficial to the bank, and certainly beneficial to the merchant. Because now, if those gaps are not closed or made a little smaller, I'm making a critical purchase in Hong Kong, using Hong Kong as an example. But because it's not the time between the recognizing the account transaction is delayed, that transaction is delayed because the bank says, "Hey, wait a minute, what is he doing in Hong Kong? What is he doing? You know, this card is used in the Bahamas at a supermarket on a particular day. Mm-hmm. Now it's being used in Hong Kong on a particular day. So that transaction is delayed. You get an alert. You get a call. That opportunity could have been lost because of the delay in getting to you. So you see how that helps to it doesn't completely close the gaps, but certainly it brings it a little closer together and creates an ease of transaction.
Mm-hmm. Can it get heavy-handed though, where perhaps the AI is too sensitive, oversensitive, over aggressive in detecting something that the customer is just like, wait.
Exactly. Just yes. Chill. And that's the fear. Mm-hmm. That's the fear that the AI, the processing, right, gets overly sensitive, gets overly restrictive. And so this is where, again, the human element comes in to help to manage that process. This is my opinion. My opinion, right? And I live on an island 21/7, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll ever see AI totally replacing the human element, because you're going to have those nuances that are going to call for reasoning. Okay. But it'll call for some reasonability. And I don't see a machine being able to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's certainly advanced. I mean, we see it. We see the different tools that are coming on stream now, and we see the advancement of it. But I don't think it will completely, it may reduce the human element, meaning if you had 10 people working in a call center, you may only now need one or two persons. Mm-hmm. So I see a reduction in the labor force because of AI, but total replacement across the board, no, I don't see that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think, that is the mechanism that's there to reduce and manage that overly aggressive AI system that has good intentions, mind you, because it's trying to protect your assets, but it just becomes too aggressive.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are some of the other benefits and what we're seeing here locally? Because it sounds like big corporations you're talking about, but locally, what are we seeing here?
Well, and that's, like I said, AI is not new, and as simple as, let's say an ATM, an ATM is a beautiful example of the progression of AI into the world and into our society. And I think a lot of us, we love the fact that you can find an ATM conveniently placed to get cash if there's a desire to need cash. Now that's another story, because as we move into this cashless society, you're gonna see. I can predict this. This is one of my predictions. I don't usually do this prediction thing, but I certainly see that ATMs becoming obsolete.
What?
Because cashless is where it is. I mean,
okay, you know, interesting.
You see some vendors on the side of the street now have a card machine. So right. I see ATMs becoming obsolete. But using that as an example, we have seen the progression of ATMs where now you don't even need an envelope. You can put that cash in. Into that ABM, and it reads the cash, determining if it's US or Bahamian, the denomination, if it's a check, and it processes that. And you look on the screen, confirm, because you'd have already done your count. That's why, again, I say I don't see it totally replacing the human element. But you see where, hey, I it's $1,000 I'm putting in. It's a mixture of US, Bahamian, and checks. And the machine processes that. So that's AI. I mean, that's machine learning. The machine would have had to have gotten the parameters, the metrics of each currency, because it also has to determine that the currency is real and that's not counterfeit. But that doesn't happen just by chance. The machine would have had to have been programmed, machine learning. And it would have learned what are the dynamics or the metrics of each currency, the color, the texture, the feel. You're programming this. This is all max, of course. And the numbers are, it's measuring this, each one of these notes. And it's making a determination that this is a real note. This one here is counterfeit. So you thought you had 1,000, maybe you only have 900. And so that's the benefit of it. That's the benefit. Unfortunately, that's not a good time to find out.
Right.
But if you understand, it's still the benefit of AI in our society. We see the benefit again. I spoke about it earlier. We see things like Alexa and Siri and these other voice activated systems, hands free systems that learn your voice versus Gamal's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give an instruction in your home or in your environment, the system has to now learn my voice because it's listening. Again, that opens up another can of worms when you go back to the question you asked earlier about if it becomes too aggressive or too intrusive. Because using Alexa and a Siri, for example, and this is not to scare folks, that means the Alexas and Siri and these other automated systems, they have to be listening all the time.
Wow. Yeah.
To determine if it's your voice, it has to listen to everything and differentiate between Gamal's voice and Dwight's voice and make a determination that that's Dwight's voice. His voice fits what we have been learning over the last 6 months. But it has to be listening all the time. So that's another kettle of fish. I mean, we can go on and on about how this system is useful, and then it becomes scary. We think about things like the Matrix and the Terminator, where what is it? Cybertron, is it? Or not Cybertron. What do you call the thing? Cybertech. Whatever the thing named the guys in the sky and the clouds, and they take over.
Yeah.
So there is some concerns, and it could be aggressive because I think that is the big concern. But there's still beneficial uses for it.
Absolutely. All right. So we have to take a break. When we come back, we want to ask you about things that you're saying. Already, so many people in this country so afraid of technology and especially AI influenced technology. And how will they function if we are getting deeper and deeper into this?
Sure.
And we'll get your tips on that and more. And this is our Safe and Sound series on Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
Technology.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Florida Auto Parts can deliver all the auto parts your car will ever need, direct from the USA and from around the world. Florida Auto Parts provides fast delivery on auto parts, and we ship throughout the Bahamas, genuine or aftermarket, new or used, and all for the best price. Call Florida Auto Parts Trusted Parts Rep on WhatsApp at 1-786-772-8777 to save on your next auto parts purchase. Florida Auto Parts, the right parts at the right price.
Fidelity, we're good for you. Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong with you. It's our Safe and Sound series every first Friday of the month. And we're talking with Gamal Nuri with Preventative Measures. Today we're talking about the impact of AI on fraud. All right, so you said something very interesting about ATMs and you talked about all the good things that AI is doing. But so many people are very skeptical still in this country especially and don't trust ATMs, and yet you say likely, and it makes a lot of sense. They're probably not that long for the world. The text was saying, hey, we got to be joking. China uses cash and cashless. Why do we need completely cashless? Bahamians love their cash, buddy. All right. Well, but yeah, we still have a lot of people, Gamal, who wouldn't touch an ATM to save their lives. I mean, what do you say to those who are being left behind with technology like this?
I hesitate to use the word left behind. I think, I go back to, you know, one of my pet peeves, with all, you know, crime or security related, topics is that you have to determine your risk appetite. And if you as an individual can only prepare to take on so much, then that's your decision. That's because you determine what is your risk appetite and what you're prepared to expose yourself to. Some people are totally off the grid. In the middle of the most technologically advanced societies and cities, some persons, are completely off the grid, meaning they have no connection to any type of technology. And, it is very difficult to track them. They utilize cash or they utilize even some sort of barter system, to get whatever goods they are. So I wouldn't say it's left behind. Persons are determined what their risk is. But again, I appreciate that because my background is in banking and finance, right? And I know, that, you know, with the advancement of, the automated systems, you still have individuals who want to have their passbook. And even to this day, I mean, but of course that's now been phased out. But then that was when you saw that transition from, passbooks to where you were getting printouts or the automated systems, you had some persons who really kicked against, because they wanted to see in writing, and that teller writing out in the passbook that this is what you had and this is now what you have based on whatever transaction you conducted. And you saw that kicking against the bricks. But if they wanted to stay within this arena of how we conduct commerce, those persons had to migrate to an ATM card. Mm-hmm. And so that was slow and painful. Enter COVID. COVID if you see the acceleration that COVID caused in the application and the use of technology, a lot of businesses limited and restricted work from home privileges because it was a privilege. Mm-hmm. And many businesses at the onset where you would get a laptop and you can go home and you can log in and all of that stuff, work from any type thing. That was considered something for the C-suite. Enter COVID. And if you wanted to keep your business operating functioning properly, everyone had to now migrate to this work from home where you had to issue laptops. And certainly you saw the increase in the use of VPNs and more robust VPN systems. So I understand that, but if you're going to work in this environment, if you're going to be in an environment, if you want to travel, if you want to participate in commerce, you're going to have to at some point connect into the grid one way or the other. And you have to now, if it's your perception, you would have to now be exposed to this artificial intelligence, to the machine. I tell folks all the time, the mere fact that you have a cell phone, right? If you have a cell phone, now you may want to stay, you may want to keep your cash on you. But if you have a cell phone, which I would say 99% of Bahamians do, adult Bahamians, right? You are on the grid. You're being tracked. You're being monitored because you have a unique IP address. That's specific. That's how the service providers can reach out and turn off your phone as opposed to turning off the other guy's phone, because there's a unique number that associates you to that particular network. And so the system, as for lack of a better term, the computing system recognizes a certain threshold in your billing, and it determines if you're going to stay on or not. Not an individual. An individual can come back and make that correction or make an adjustment to accommodate whatever your unique circumstances are. But that's where we are in this society. So if you're afraid of it, I understand, but understand that you're already in the matrix. You may not be as far down the hole as some of us, but you're already in the matrix. Mm. So understand what you're up against.
All right, let's get some calls in, and we've got a few text messages as well. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Caller, good morning, you're on the air.
Morning to your guest.
Hi, good morning.
Right, don't you know, let me tell you, artificial intelligence, don't you know the first time I get my iPhone, they said, gentlemen could verify, they said, after I was setting it up, they said, would you like to agree for us to monitor you for quality purposes? Right. In 2 days, the phone knows I had a disability. They know exactly how I use the phone. They know I don't use my hand. They know I use my vote. That's how artificial intelligence powerful. Mm. They could cut on your phone. You don't know. They monitor you. They make sure for quality purposes. They make sure that the folks with disability are capable of using capable of providing the proper system for folks with disability. They know all of that, right? Mm-hmm. He's right. Artificial intelligence does exist in everything, smart TV and everything. Oh, the gentleman is right on spot, and I just use me for example. I'm a disabled. They, some folks know how I look. You go to my Facebook page, you know, LMF, you see how you look. They know exactly what they're providing for. Yeah. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's very powerful stuff there. But I was thinking while you mentioned the bank teller and people with the old books back in the day, but I mean, can you imagine how easily mistakes are made when somebody is writing down the information, right? And how numbers can be adjusted so easily if it's in pen or something. And so what was more likely to result in fraud than that? But yeah, so this is.
And that's again when you weigh the two, that is exactly that's a very good point you bring up, because it would weigh the two to reduce fraud, to reduce the manipulation on both sides, mm-hmm. whether it's the teller or the individual, right? So now you automate it, so you can more easily recognize some anomaly in the print. There's the print, the information is also sent to all of the branches or the bank system in that network.
Mm-hmm.
So if I leave a bank in Nassau and I go to a bank in New York, they're going to have the same information. If you're limited to writing that down in a book and you're looking at, again, traditional backing up systems and communicating that to a bank in another country, that's going to take time. So this is again why the technology has developed to ease and make business safer. And that's a very good point. So now the that doesn't mean it eliminates the manipulation, because enter the fraudster, mm-hmm. enter the fraudster. Mm-hmm. The fraudster will find ways, but now the fraudster, what do they have to do? And this is again, you know, how we have to really appreciate that AI's weakness is, again, not necessarily the machine. It is the human element. It is the human element who decides that they're going to click. And I go back to these simple little ways people are getting into you're getting your information. If when they do things like social engineering, if they send phishing emails, some type of identity theft is going on, that's how they're going to manipulate that system. Not through their so-called smarts, but because they found a weak link that you like to go to the food store every Wednesday. So now we monitor you. Now we start to track you. AI just takes it to a different level. So that's the pro and con of embracing the technology. That's the pro and con of living in a society that is always about advancing and increasing efficiency. That would always open up an avenue for a fraudster to take advantage of those persons who do not want to be a part of it or who are fighting against it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to break for news. In our final segment, when we come back, we're going to get to the text messages. But I also want to talk about, I guess it's a different type of fraud here, but the increase of chat bots and chat GPT, I think they're calling it, that can write your books or essays for you and
deep,
homework.
Deep thinking.
Right?
Deep thinking. Yes.
So I want to talk about that, the other side of this, when we continue. Gamal Nuri with preventative measures here with our Safe and Sound series. We'll be back with Morning Glen Business after the news. Stay with us.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is the Guardian News Network update on the hour. Hello, everyone. I'm Charlene Ferguson. A 33-year-old police corporal has been charged with 10 counts of incest, accused of molesting his daughter repeatedly over a 2-year period, beginning when she was 10 years old. His name is being withheld to protect his now 12-year-old child. Prosecutors allege the incidents of abuse began in November 2020 and continued up to February 24th this year. The officer was denied bail yesterday and remanded to the Department of Corrections, but he can still seek bail in the Supreme Court. He returns to court June 8th for the presentation of a voluntary bill of indictment. The Nassau Guardian reports that he has been suspended from duty and placed on half pay until the conclusion of his case. In other news, Immigration Minister Keith Bell is recommending a 3-strikes rule for employers who repeatedly hire illegal migrants or breach other immigration law. He told Morning Blend host Dwight Strawn, giving the Department of Immigration the ability to fine employers on the spot will help deter illegal hiring by employers and prevent further clogging the courts with prosecutions of those professionals who breach immigration law.
We can have like a 3-strike rule. Mm-hmm. The first time we come and we find you. The second time we have to come to your house, the fine is double or tripled. Mm-hmm. And the third time you go before the court, and this time when we go before the court, we're asking the court to incarcerate you. Mm-hmm. And so it is our intention to start with the prosecutions of these individuals and these professionals and the employers now to ensure that we send a very clear message. Right.
And 200 undocumented migrants were repatriated to their home countries this week. The Department of Immigration notes that three groups of deportations included a Bahamas Air flight from New Providence to Port-au-Prince yesterday morning with 65 Haitian nationals on board, a Copa Airlines flight yesterday afternoon to Panama carrying three Peruvians, two Colombians, and two Chinese nationals, and the repatriation of 128 Cubans Wednesday. That's what's making headlines at this hour. Stay with us. AP Update is next.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Alec Murdoch, the disbarred South Carolina lawyer, will be sentenced this morning after being convicted late yesterday of murdering his wife and son. The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours before finding Murdoch guilty. Shortly after their verdict was announced, South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson said this.
Today's verdict proves that no one, no matter who you are in society, is above the law.
Much of the nation is still wrestling with Mother Nature. The AP's Jennifer King.
Tornadoes touched down in Texas and Louisiana, leaving a trail of damage across the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses lost power.
The AP's Jennifer King reporting. Two Kansas men are accused of illegally exporting technology to Russia. The Justice Department says they owned a company that allegedly supplied aircraft electronics to Russian companies and provided repair services for equipment used in Russian-manufactured aircraft. I'm Rita Foley.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up.
Welcome to Morning Blend Business on this Friday, March 3rd, 2023. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. We continue our Safe and Sound series segment this morning with Gamal Nuri with Preventative Measures. We've been talking about the impact of AI on fraud, and it's been lots of positive impacts. And we're going to get into some of the, I don't know if it's a positive or negative, that part, Gamal, about the AIs that can write your exam, write your papers for you. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's get to some of these text messages though. Somebody's asking here, something like this can only be trusted if internet maintenance and security is improved in this country. That would require a heavy investment in addition to the AI technology because the country is behind technologically. Well, what's your response to that? I mean, you know, as you said, these things have been here. They've been happening for years, decades now. But is that a hindrance to how far we are or where we are right now and how far we can go?
It's a very good question because one of the biggest issues that we have, and it's not, and then again, it's not unique to the Bahamas, but it's certainly improving and being more robust in our data protection and privacy law enforcement. From what I recall, I know it was in an event last year sometime, there was some work being done to update and bring the data protection laws up to, you know, more global standards. But but with this doc, there is a need to be a bit more aggressive in how we manage and we push data and how we handle privacy. So definitely, and so when the individual speaks to security, yes, the security in the sense that protection of data and appreciating privacy issues, because that's how the hacker or the person who decides to abuse a system, that's how it happens. It does not happen with some genius and who has some special skill set and is able to quote unquote hack in. A hacker is looking for information on Gamal Nuri. They're going to use my date of birth. They're going to use my address. They're going to use any other personal, or as you would say, private identifiable information, personal identifiable information that they can find and use that to start to manipulate and trick legitimate systems to either get more information or to get access to whatever assets I have. So certainly, as we progress, there is a need to ensure that we're ready to manage what all comes with the advancement of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
this person says it's good to be off the grid. I don't have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so I minimize my use on the grid. Boy, okay.
They text you though, right?
That's yeah. Text. right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, like I said, the reality check, right? You know, if you have a cell phone, mm-hmm. if you have a cell phone, right? That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yeah. So we see movies and often comedy movies, or sometimes not quite comedies, but they do get to, we've seen it very often that the machines do eventually start to develop consciousness and start to have a mind of their own. Is that a likely scenario at all? Or is it just a great way to scare people and make money at the movies?
Yeah, I think that the scenario is for that to occur, that machine would have to have been programmed to for that wrongdoing. Mm. And that's where you see the hackers are going and cyber criminals are going. They take that same technology that we're using, a ChatGPT, for example, because we started to bring it up before we went on the break.
Mm-hmm.
And the good intentions for ChatGPT, to ease information and the management of information and doing research, things of that sort to make the life a little easier. You see now that individuals have taken that technology, just like all technology, and they've decided, hey, we can use this to do some nefarious activities, right? I started to mention deep faking, right? Mm-hmm. Where they would have monitored my voice. They would have monitored my behavior. There are photographs of me online, and they take that and they plug that into a advanced software like a ChatGPT. And it now takes that and manipulates that to impersonate Gamal Nuri. And you looking and hearing, especially with the hearing, because some software is not as advanced to give you that that facial, but there's certainly some out there that you would look at as individual. And unless you're really sensitive to how the human face moves and the structure you're really observing, you would think that it's a real person actually speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so but that goes, but again, just to show you the legacy behind that, what you're seeing now with what is called deep fakes. And I always smile as I go to these conferences and I engage other, you know, security experts, how we come up with these different names. Deep faking is no more than targeting or spear phishing, where they would have done, you know, spear phishing, for example. We heard about phishing in regards to email fraud, right? Spear phishing is where we'd have targeted someone in that organization who has some access to assets or has assets themselves. And we find out about them. We find out where their little son goes to school. We find out that there's a play coming up. We find out that they're about to travel. We find out that they like to hang out at a particular restaurant, or they like to do a certain type of activity. So they do their research. So deep faking using AI is just taking it to another level where we can now copy, as opposed to identity theft. We can now copy the identity, which is a bit different than stealing the identity.
Mm-hmm.
Copying the identity means now I can manipulate and copy the voice. I can now manipulate and copy the individual, their expressions, their movements, and I can present them to unknowing persons who are not as, who may not be paying as much attention. And I could, for a period of time, get information, get access to assets based on the fact that I've manipulated that individual, and even have conversation, because again, I would have done the research knowing that, you know, certain persons like to this particular activity, or they like that activity they do, they travel, this is an exercise that they like, this is a food that they like. And so that's being fed into that raw data that we talked about at the very beginning is being fed into the system. And it's now using that to mimic and copy the individual.
All right.
That's the deep fake.
All right. So let's get into it. ChatGPT, chatbot, and what and how this is, yeah, creating a whole new type of fraud here, especially for challenges for colleges and high schools, helping to write papers, write books. Well, you mentioned it initially. The purpose was for good, and now it's being misused and abused. Let's talk about it.
Right. So when you have a advanced, and this is a game changer. ChatGPT is a game changer for all of us. And this is like I said, this isn't new. But this is like a quantum leap. This is something that sort of, you know, jumps you a few steps ahead. Where you would have taken 10 steps to get to that destination, you now leap and you're covering that same distance. So again, here's a tool. Here's a software that was developed to assist individuals, just like Google, to assist individuals with doing research, getting data. To give individuals a template of sort, let's say in writing a report or creating a particular code, and now the anticipation that the individual will go back and make it theirs, because it's still a generated, more data driven. It's not yours per se, but it's still your information or your input, because I want to learn about how to make wine. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's still me looking and putting in some pieces to that puzzle. And now the software, the AI goes out into the internet again. The data is there. It's not pulling stuff out of the cloud or out of nowhere. It's not creating stuff. The data is there. When you compare it to Google just brings you back more the data and the raw files, whereas the ChatGPT now takes that same information that's always been on the internet. And now it creates what you want. It creates a document, a thesis, a code, a program based on what you would have directed it to do. So that's a good thing, eh? Isn't that a good thing?
But how? So what are we seeing, and what are the fears now? I'm seeing an article where colleges and universities, high schools even, are trying to find ways to look out for something that might be a ChatGPT product as opposed to something authentic from the student. Are we creating a whole new category of challenges? Is that reasonable to assume that this could become a big problem?
It is, and it goes back to and when we talked about, does it replace, it is the human element, ethics, morals. We cannot program that. You cannot, and it's up to me, who the user, to determine how I'm going to use the technology. So if I'm going to use it to write a paper and plagiarize information and not make it mines, That's unfortunate. That's the risk. Talking about risk appetite, mm-hmm. right? But if I'm going to use it for good, still write that paper, still get that data, and now tweak it, edit it, and create a product that is uniquely mine. Then again, it speaks to ethics. It speaks to morals. Okay, it speaks to my own upbringing. And this is the risk with using technology. This is the risk with giving somebody a knife. In one instance, the knife could be used to, you know, cut up some meat and to cook a meal. And that same knife, the exact same knife in the hands of someone else, could be used to take somebody's life.
The enemy so hates you so tool, much.
Do we blame the tool, the ChatGPT, the Google, the knife, the gun, the car? Do we blame that tool, that inanimate tool, or do we look at the individuals? The danger now is, or the humanitarian and equal rights, equal opportunity is, you'll be prejudiced and say, hey, you see those, you see those people over there, that group of people, we don't want to expose them. We can't let them because they're not honest. And now, so we start to segregate, we start to discriminate. So here's the dilemma of utilizing, technology. How do we determine if this person is going to be good or bad until that actually happens?
Yeah. Wow.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
So I'm getting a message here. So they're asking, well, should we still be writing dumb essays? That's what I'm asking. Why not use it to improve our writing and stuff? But I mean, I am saying, well, if you got to write what you are, who you are, right? If that's what you are and who you are, then we need to know that's what you are and who you are. I mean, no?
But see, again, you know, that's a good question, because when you look at the benefits of AI, I think AI is going to also change the educational dynamics, because the world is going to have to adapt to what's happening. That essays can be constructed or created. So now we may need to require you now to sit in front of a class, mm-hmm. and give a speech or verbatim, not reading off of a paper. So you're going to have, the education system is going to have to adapt to accommodate AI. The labor force is going to have to adapt mm-hmm. to accommodate AI. And me as a security professional, law enforcement is going to have to adapt. And banking systems are going to have to adapt to appreciate the risk, the new risk and the threats that come along with the advancement in technology. And that's what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But with ChatGPT, and I'm certain now, this is what we're hearing now. And I always say, you know, what you hear is only at the surface. Imagine what's underneath. Imagine what's happening on the black market and the dark web.
Yeah.
Like, we find out about these things like 20 years later, and this is now old technology when you really look at what's actually happening on the dark web. So the police, security professionals, educators, governments have to stay and keep pace. They will never get ahead.
I think this is extremely dangerous. I mean, people are going to say, what's the point of school? I could just put my thoughts into a program and write something as if I'm as talented as Shakespeare. And, individuality and personality. This is doomed. But
so it goes to the point made earlier about how do we create legislation? How do we manage that? And even further back, how do we now? You know, crime and criminality is not what we see. The end product goes back to ethics, morals, the upbringing, the culturization of that individual. When we see an individual who has stolen, who is robbing, who is raping, we're seeing the fruits. We need to go back to the roots and see what was feeding that individual for them to make such a bad decision. And whether it's a bad decision from a physical crime, where they decide to cause physical harm to an individual, or if they determine that they're going to use a system to cheat on an exam, or to misrepresent themselves. All of that speaks to ethics and morals. All of that. And that's criminality. Criminality isn't the guy robbing the bank. Criminality is what are the reasons that cause this individual determined that they want to come and cause harm and havoc in society.
Yeah.
If we don't address that, we're going to continuously be going up against these advancements, because it's got 10 years from now, next week, Dwight, next week, I say next week, there's going to be something else out there that makes ChatGPT obsolete.
No.
I may be exaggerating, right? But the point I'm making is, you know, Google was the thing, mm-hmm. you know, who could have thought that there could have been anything more, you know, dynamic than a Google? But now you see that it's changed. So in another 5 years, another 10 years, some technology is going to come up that's going to make us even forget what was this thing you called again? What is it called? ChatGPT.
Mm.
That's just how we are in society. But it comes back to the human element. How are they going to use this technology for good or for bad?
Yeah. Well, let's take a couple calls really quickly. Good morning. You're on the air. Hi, good morning. Are you there? Let's take the other one. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Hi, caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Strawn.
Hi.
Good morning to Mr. Jamal Newey.
Yes, sir.
He's painting a good picture, right? But, you know, one would have to, you know, Dwight, I'm much older than you. So you think you are afraid. I'm afraid. I'm enlightened, but I'm frightened, right? And so he's painting a picture of a, like, I mean, I guess he knows the pros and cons of AI, right? But he's trying to paint a picture of a digital utopia, right? Picture is really the opposite, right? And it's all based on capitalist surveillance and panopticism, and we know who would be controlling the data. But he's correct about the technology moving faster than the politicians and legislation, right, Dwight? And so nothing artificial I like, not even artificial sweetness, right? So the human race is being engineered and being snared and driven, and they want you to believe that AI is the ultimate and it comes to save humanity, which is BS, right? I hate to get into the transhumanistic. He knows about the Neuralink and the brain-to-brain communication, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, most humans, you know, now you're seeing why they were incrementally engineering you. You see, they always ask you the question, am I a robot? Or you see the question that pops up, right?
Yes.
They want you to be a robot. This is why they have been feeding the algorithms to these autonomous robots over the years, and they have written algorithms on human emotions, features, and everything. You see what I'm saying? So then, the agenda is quite clear now because they have all of the technological armamentarium to enslave humanity.
Wow.
Through panopticism. But they don't want you to know that. So, big things is, if I have $500 in my pocket and somebody robbed me, they take the $500 from me, but within the digital paradigm, they could go and swipe everything, my identity and everything. But, you know, I'm not well versed in all the intricacies, but I'm I know the agenda behind technocracy. So everybody's educated, but for years I was talking about Technocracy Incorporated and the agenda behind technocracy. Take, for instance, Dwight. And everybody believes the world is overpopulated, Dwight. Suppose they tell you that's total BS, Dwight. The human collapse is on the way. That's why I love Elon Musk, really and truly. So he's buffering against artificial intelligence. But what I'm saying is, you know, normally I'm a old person, so I like the hardback copy. And Google is not the, Google is censored. And so what happens is, by me reading so much, I've seen things that I've read on Google and come back and it's being altered. And so they write an algorithms on me. And so when I Google certain things, scholarly articles will pop up that wouldn't pop up for other people.
Right.
So what they do is, they are actually creating a panoptic paradigm. And so even when I went on DuckDuckGo, when you laugh at me, DuckDuckGo specifically said, Google is trying to track me. So what I'm saying is there are pros and cons to artificial intelligence, and I don't like nothing artificial, because we have artificial God. And so then, by us, all right, Dwight, did you know that when you Google biological digital convergence, you know our mRNA vaccines comes up? You didn't know that? So all the people who
thought
they were so crazy, they found out that their minds are lazy. Because really, I was correct on that, because I'd read it, and I know it, and I know the global agenda, Dwight. I was following global agendas for 32 years. I don't care who comes on the radio and paint a picture of this utopian Jetson-type world where everything is going to be perfect. No, Dwight, it's not going to be like that. Why do you think they had the movies about AI turning on people? It's because they know what they're planning on doing, Dwight. Who's controlling these robots like Elon Musk? You have to look at this. Elon Musk suggested a robot might be a despot. So all the sci-fi movies we saw with the tyrant, with the on the screen, talking to the people them and doing the dictates. This is what about to come. Revolution of the mind. Black is white and white is black. Give thanks.
Thank you very much. Well, boy.
Yeah.
Well, Gamal.
Quite a bit there, and it boils down again to determining from a security and a criminal standpoint, what is your ethics? What are your morals? Are you going to abuse, or are you going to use it to, you know, to work with your brothers and sisters and make the world a better place as best as you can? And then that's why I'm here, to assist in that decision making process. And if there is nefarious activity, you know, preventative measures is all about, you know, first obviously preventing, but also being able to respond and recover from these various types of attacks. So you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. It's coming.
We only have about a minute here. Somebody's texting in to say, I agree with Mr. Newey that people have to keep up with technology to avoid fraud. There hasn't been enough public education for seniors, though, and other non-adept persons on the proper use of technology. Many entities are also unwilling to accommodate them. I still have to do online transactions and send emails on my senior mother's behalf. and she has no idea what deep fake is. Oh, boy.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Oh. And here is, again, like I said, a more robust data protection initiative, a national framework, because we have to prepare, you know, our citizens, you know, in another 50 years, I'm going to be a senior citizen doing. I'm saying 50 because I'm a young guy. I don't know how much for you, right?
70, 70 for me. Yeah.
So we have to get this educational process started now from in the school. And this is why I'm saying it will change the educational program, because if you want to prepare that, that preschooler today, right? And you want them to be more competent in the work environment in the next 10 years, you have to start them now. They need to know. And certainly for those of us who are older, as we start to lose our skill sets and our mobility, and certainly some of our thinking skills, we need to be continued. I mean, you're right. Sorry. We need to be continually educated on you know, the changes. And yeah. So that text is very right.
Yeah.
We need to do more to equip individuals for the changing world, so they don't become victims.
All right. We have to go to the break, but thank you, Gamal Nuri. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure talking with you, and have a great weekend, sir. We'll talk again in a few weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and you enjoy and be safe.
You've given us a lot to think about. I'm a little scared, but there is a lot of possibilities, good possibilities indeed, as well with the future.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good one, and enjoy the weekend, sir.
All right. Take care. We'll be back with more Morning Blend business in just a bit. We're going to be lightening things up a bit. We'll be talking with the folks from Comfort Suites. They've got March Mania. We'll get the details after this. You know the river won't evaporate. This world is still appreciate. You could be in my life. Even in a hurricane of clouds, I know that we'll be safe and sound. We're safe and sound. We're safe and sound. We're safe and sound.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? Now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard.
What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything?
Guns?
Where they hiding the drugs?
Who shoot who?
Who part of which gang?
Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody go on come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Earning zero interest on your savings at the bank? With as little as $100, you can start earning interest on your money while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank with the CFAL Savings Express Plan. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Welcome to the power of Visa. With access to thousands of travel and shopping and dining discounts with up to $1,500 in savings yearly with Mobile Assist's new prepaid Visa travel rewards cards. Book the cheapest flights.
Even cheaper than Orbitz and Expedia.
Get cash back at participating hotels. Car rentals with automatic insurance. And online shopping discounts at U.S. stores like Gap, Best Buy, and more. Get your 30-day free trial when you download our Mobile Assist app. Visit MobileAssist.com/rewards now for your prepaid Visa travel rewards card.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets@Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Every crack and crevice you own. You're all over the place, you're trying to roam. You're living a sweet thing at home. I don't care if you're living life for the key. If you live in downtown, this thing don't discriminate. I want you to know when karma come round. Don't wear a frown when you're raining on your parade. But don't you know that while you are looking for...
We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn with you on this Friday's Morning Blend Business. We are changing gears now, talking about Comfort Suites. Our friends at Comfort Suites, they've got a lot going on always, including March Mania. Here to tell us all about this, we're very pleased to have with us Director of Sales Yasmin Mills Strawn, Sales Manager Tomiko Bethel, and Senior Sales Manager Lakeisha Benaby. Great to have you all with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello there. All right, so March Mania. It sounds very exciting. What is that all about?
So we have our March Mania starting at $198 per night plus taxes and fees for the whole month of March.
Wow.
So we encourage our locals to come on down for the whole month of March to have all the good things that we have to offer here at Comfort Suites. So as we all know, we have the access to Atlanta's water park, pool, beaches, aquarium. You have your breakfast every morning, free parking, free Wi-Fi. Kids 11 years and under, they stay, play, and eat free. And yes, we have our food and beverage credit that is still going on that can give you up to $50 per stay, per room, for your food and beverage needs that you can use to the Crusoe's restaurant.
That is wonderful, wonderful. And it's for the entire month. Any blackout dates, anything like that, that people need to know about?
Currently, there's no blackout dates, but I can tell you rooms are going fast. So we encourage our listeners to book as soon as they can. We require a 24-hour notice to secure your room. So the quicker, the better.
Yeah, wow. Wonderful stuff there. All right, so let people know, those who might not be too familiar with Comfort Suites, I don't know where they've been, but we'll let people know about the resort. You mentioned the fabulous Crusoe's restaurant. What else people can expect there at the property?
So with our Crusoe's restaurant, first, this might feel as if you're not able to utilize the restaurant if you're not a registered guest, but letting you know that you can still come and dine with us. We have lunch from 12 to 4 every day and dinner from 5:30 to 9. So you can get things from our authentic grouper to our rack of lamb, to burgers, to pizzas, you name it, we got it.
Wow, excellent, excellent. Yeah, and some of the other features of the property. And you mentioned the access to Atlantis.
Yes, you have the access to Atlantis. You get your free parking, your free Wi-Fi,
Free breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And for those who have patronized Comfort Suites before, they have tasted the Bahamian cuisine. So we have our tuna and grits, the combis, the steamed sausage with the yellow grits. So you still have a taste of what you would have if you're home.
Yeah. Yeah. And give us those hours for the restaurant again, because I mean, I think I may need to head there right after the show.
No problem. Lunch is from 12 noon to 4 every day, and dinner is from 5:30 to 9. And we do have our nice happy hour. So after work, you can come and visit us and have a nice cold drink to the bar.
Mm-hmm. Are non-guests able to come for breakfast? I mean, not the free breakfast, of course, but I mean, are they able to come to the restaurant for breakfast?
Not at this time. It's just they could patronize us with the lunch and the dinner.
Okay. All right. I understand. All right. And talk some more about the other amenities around the property.
Well, basically what we shared is what we have to offer, but we want to also let you guys know about the safety protocols. Tomiko is going to let us know about that because we still are in our COVID protocol. So we just need to still be safe because COVID is still out there.
Mm.
Yeah, so as Ms. Bambi would have mentioned, of course, we know COVID is still real. So we always have sanitation stations strategically placed across the property. We also enforce social distancing at the restaurant. When you go down there for lunch, breakfast, or dinner, you would find that they have roll-ups there. The seats are socially distant. So, of course, we want to make sure that the amenities that we offer is also a safe place and a clean place for our guests to be at.
Mm-hmm. How are people responding to that? I mean, I know a lot of people are so over COVID, but are people understanding and taking the precautions?
Yeah, but a lot of persons are very accepting of it because safety, especially health concerns, is a serious thing. So, of course, you want to make sure you're having fun, but you're doing it in a safe environment. So mm-hmm. we take that very serious at Comfort Suites.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So one more time, let people know about March Mania, what that's all about, and what comes along with it.
All right. So we have our March Mania starting from today until the 31st of March. So the starting rate is $198 plus taxes and fees. So you get all your benefits. You get the access to Atlantis Aquaventure, you get your breakfast every morning, free Wi-Fi, all the good stuff. So we just want to make sure Ms. Strawn is just joining us because she wasn't able to log into the system.
Good morning, Bahamas.
Hi, good morning, Yasmin. How are you doing?
So she's going to give us the call to actions for persons to make sure that they book and make sure 24 hours in notice is what we require to get all the benefits of Comfort Suite. So Ms. Strawn?
So we know our people love accessibility. You can reach us anytime via WhatsApp, Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
That's 557-8483. Or if you prefer the acronym, it's 55SUITE, S-U-I-T-E, easier to remember.
Okay.
You can find us on Facebook, Comfort Suites Local Residence page, or Instagram, same handle. Our Crusoe's restaurant also has separate handles. So if you're interested in just dining at the restaurant without booking a stay, you're also able to do that. And you can give us a call if you just prefer an old school landline. It'll be 605-6300 or 363-3680.
And like we love to say, we give comforting days and sweet nights.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. All right. So somebody's tuning in and they're saying, okay, that price is per person. Right. Not the total price. So that's per person. Any different prices for?
No, that's actually per room.
That's per room.
Right.
$198.
Based on single double occupancy.
Okay.
Plus taxes and fees, it's not per person.
Okay, that is excellent. That is good to know. That's pretty decent. What about children? Any special consideration there?
So children 11 years and under, they stay play at E-Free with a paying adult.
Okay.
Children 12 to 15, they're somewhat free, but they pay the taxes. But our room capacity is 4 per room.
Mm-hmm.
The only time we make an exception is when we have a toddler 2 years and under, because he or she will be going in the crib.
Ah, you can't beat this. This is a great deal, for all that you get there, all the things that there are to do there. $198, pretty decent in March. So how are you going to top this for April?
You have to stay tuned. You have to stay locked and loaded. You have to make sure you follow our social media pages. Make sure you stay on our WhatsApp, and you'll be able to see all the secrets we have for Easter.
Yeah, right. So and I guess this is the time to book for that too, if you're interested.
I recommend that also. Make sure you try to lock it in.
All right. So Yasmin, one more time, give us the numbers to call or WhatsApp if you want to make some reservations.
Yes. So to call us, 605-6300 or 363-3680. WhatsApp would be 55SUITE or 557-8483. And that's SUITE as in S-U-I-T-E.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. And again, it starts from today, the March Mania special, till the end of the month.
That's right.
All right. This is great stuff there. Yasmin Mills, Strawn, Lakeisha Benneby, and D'Amico Bethel, thank you so much. And thank you to the folks at Comfort Suites, always great friends to us here on Guardian Radio. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Have a good day.
I'm going to message you right now with the dates for me. But thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break and then be back to wrap things up. This is Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9.
You're chasing gone. Have you got that crevice you want? You're all over the place, you're trying to roam. You're living a sweet thing.
key. If you live in the end town, this thing don't discriminate. I want you know when karma come round, don't wear a crown.
Fidelity, 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 we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Carifta Tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It is time for your morning business report brought to you by CFAL. Consumer credit quality indicators continue the positive improvement trends solidified at the end of 2022 into January. That's according to the most recent data from the Central Bank of the Bahamas. The monthly economic and financial developments report for January showing that private sector credit was up by $12.6 million in January, led by commercial credit, which was up $23.4 million. While mortgages were down $3.9 million and consumer credit was down $6.9 million. Total Bahamian dollar credit contracted by $5 million during the review month, a reversal from $74.9 million growth in 2022. According to the report, underpinning the development, net claims on the government declined by $17.5 million, a shift from an $81.9 million expansion a year earlier. In contrast, private sector credit grew by $12.6 million, a turnaround from a $5.9 million reduction in the preceding year. Reflective of the continued pressures of global inflation, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute revealing an 8% increase in the value of imports during the third quarter of 2022. The total value of commodities imported into the country stood at $1.036 billion, with vehicles and food and beverages topping the list for the highest value categories. The major groups of merchandise were machinery and transport equipment, which totaled $197 million, food and live animals at $184 million, and mineral fuels, lubricants, and related materials, which totaled $167 million. The combined value of the categories represented 53% of the total imports. You can read more on this in today's Guardian Business section. And the Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs is preparing to unveil two 40-foot containerized farms, one for Abaco and one for Eleuthera, before the end of 2022, the 2023 budget period. That's according to Minister of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Islands, Clay Sweeting. He added that his ministry will also launch greenhouse parks throughout the country in order to grow leafy greens and vegetables year-round. Sweeting, speaking during the mid-year budget debate in the House yesterday, said the ministry is also reinvested in the crops of the Gladstone Road Agricultural Center. He contended that vertical farming and greenhouses will be used to improve and increase food production in the country. Containerized farm technology allows for the growth of produce year-round in a protected environment. Sweden added that other crops were developed throughout the country during the fiscal year as well. Overseas, China accusing Washington today of improperly attacking Chinese companies after genetic analysts, giant BGI Group, and 17 others were hit with curbs on access to U.S. technology on security or human rights grounds. The Commerce Department said it saw a danger that two BGI units might contribute to the government surveillance apparatus, which human rights groups say is trying to create a database of genetic samples that Muslims and other minorities were compelled to provide. Other companies were cited for their role in the ruling Communist Party's military modernization or weapons deployment or development, rather, by Iran and Pakistan and suspected human rights abuses in Myanmar. Washington accused China of trying to use civilian companies to obtain processor chips and airspace and other technologies that can be used to make weapons. Beijing retorts that the U.S. government is trying to stop potential commercial competitors. And in your market watch, recapping trading on the BISX from Thursday, your market movers, Bank of the Bahamas moving 1,000 shares, closing down 18 cents to 310. Consolidated Water down 1 cent, closing at $3.06. And Emira Incorporated down 11 cents, closing at 958. The BISX all-share index closing at 2,599.83, down 2.01. That's your market watch. And that is your morning business report, brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. We're back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn with you on this Friday morning. Okay, so we've had a lot to talk about on the show this morning, and in our final few minutes, you get to have your say on what we've discussed. Most recently, we were talking about AI, the mainly positive impacts, but also some of the things that are causing people to be a little concerned, and so quite a bit of commentary about ChatGPT. And other similar chat bots. And I'm going to read these messages here for you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. And you can call in as well, folks. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. And and earlier, of course, we had Labor and Immigration Minister Keith Bell, who graciously came back for day two of talks with us about immigration challenges, a little bit of labor as well. So if you have comments, you can let us know about that. Also, and more of your reaction to what he said yesterday about the three penalty strikes before, you know, well, two penalties before you, the third strike would get you in court, right? For employers who violate immigration laws. All right, so we were talking about ChatGPT just a few minutes ago, and some texters are telling us they use it, they think it's great, and they use it for essays. And I said on there, I said, well, you know, if you are not able to write the essay, I don't know if it's a good idea for you to just put some words into or some commands into the thing, and then all of a sudden you crank out something wonderful. That's going to be dangerous for so many reasons. But they're going to say it's an aggregate measure of research. Instead of searching all over the web and elsewhere for information, the AI puts it all together for you. The measure of smart is antiquated and needs to change. Perhaps we need more oral examinations rather than dumb essays, or you want a dumb essay, do it at an examination center with no outside resources. but that's not the real world experience. Okay. I hear you. Interesting. Let's see what this caller has to say. Good morning. You're on the air.
Your whole show. I was in a workshop, but listen to me carefully, okay? We don't have to worry about AI in the Bahamas, okay? We are natural intelligence, so we'll dumb it down. Just like the person who texted saying that artificial intelligence put at work. Artificial intelligence is not the way of education the way they're saying. In fact, there's a number of sites right there that I could put anything in, and in the amount of minutes, it will tell me whether or not it's machine written or anything, and that's what teachers and everything are using.
Yeah.
ChatGPT has been on the market since November. My six-year-old daughter has been using it for over a year. ChatGPT is nothing more than GPT-3.5. I'm using GPT-4 plus some other information. My wife, Eden Mary Gator, specializes in artificial intelligence and data management.
What does your daughter use it for?
She uses it for education, but not the way that person says. She asks questions, and she challenges the questions. And so we've taught her to question everything, and so now she gets to question everything with her artificial intelligence. The problem is that ChatGPT is a very limited. I want people, don't be impressed with Chat. There's some bigger things out there. That it's a very limited, though it has transitioned us into this new reality, this inflection point that I keep talking about. When I said a couple of weeks ago, we are now at a point of inflection that if we don't adapt, and I said that the PLP don't bring these legislation for data into existence, that in 5 years, in 3 years, we'll have to find a government that's able to change the tires on a speeding car just for us to catch up. I'm always being real. I'm not trying to frighten anyone. But AI is only as dangerous as the people who get control of it. I'm a transhumanist. You've heard me say this a number of years on your thing. I understand what 52 says. But I also understand the power of the human nature. And the fact is that if we only allow a small group of people to control it, this is what's happened. This is why I try to get it involved with as many young people as I can. So, you know, when they say they want to limit the greatest threat to control of artificial intelligence is the population of the world. Because as much as we think all of the population is on technology, it's not. And so since ChatGPT or the other thing you want to use cannot figure out the algorithm to deal with those people, the best way to do is reduce the population so then you'll have complete technocracy across it. So it's a long conversation that you have on it. This is something I've been involved with for almost 25 years. In it. So, and because I'm a futurist, and so this is the greatest opportunity. Remember, I kept saying we are data economy, that the Bahamas is the only place in the world for data economy. Believe it or not, the Bahamas is still the only place in the world that control the data that artificial intelligence uses, and it's constitutional in our constitution if they can see it. And so we're still trying to catch up with history, yesterday's information and technology. Same thing with the farming, and same thing with all of these things we're announcing. These are decades behind where the world is today.
Yeah.
But we have people within this country and outside this country that's 100% behemoth. And people like you, what is it, the native? What is it?
Indigenous. Organic. Organic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's involved with this information, involved with this technology. They are not living in the U.S. For me, they are parked in the U.S. The problem is our current leadership doesn't seem to have the ability to create the ecosystem to make them want to come in. This is why I say to you, they pity me. They laugh at me and say, you know, why are you stuck in the cave? And I say, because I have hope. I have hope for our country. And so I do believe that if we embrace technology, you'll be amazed at what this is capable of. If you see what my six-year-old daughter does and what my three-year-old is trying to do, she does coding. No code, low coding, whatever. She did a thing yesterday. I asked her, can you design something for me so Daddy can read one line at a time? And she went, using ChatGPT and another thing, she wrote a thing where if I send a message to her, it'll read to her one at a time, but it'll also have her read it. But you send an essay to her or, you know, these WhatsApp chat, these long things I like to write, it reads it to her one at a time, line at a time, as soon as it hits her computer.
Wow.
There's so much things that could be done if we would understand the power of technology to transform our economy. Just an ending. The housing crisis, why the government have not released their rent-to-own program, I already solved that problem months ago, but nobody listens to me. But the problem is they haven't solved it because they cannot figure out how the financials come together. But guess what? Artificial intelligence using the data from the Bahamas has already solved that problem.
Mm.
But they're going to spend a few million dollars in office trying to figure it out. the same Haitian housing problem, social housing, affordable housing, staircasing, all these different things has already been solved. If we just apply the data we have here, we could fix the shantytown problems in a matter of months.
My goodness.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, C. Allen. Okay, appreciate it. Wow. This texter says, tell that person with the text that dumb essays are the foundation of all analysis. It's called a specification. Well, I think the text is talking about evening the playing ground, but Brave New World. It's very scary. Very scary. But anyway, I like the things that C. Allen's saying. That sounds exciting. Yeah, the 6-year-old's doing some amazing things there. A lot to think about, folks. A lot to think about. Hope you all enjoyed the show this week. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll be back on Monday with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, have a great one. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.